Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the kingdom of humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. This week brought to you by NatureBox and Squarespace.
I'm so excited we finally have our new set.
Phew! This new set is awesome.
It is the fucking best.
This it looks great. Good.
All we did was we lowered it 6 inches.
That was it.
Perfect.
Like, usually you would drop off the end, but now you can walk straight
at the
camera.
Do you think anyone has figured out so far that there's not a new set? Figured out the joke yet?
It's such a long con. We were talking about it forever.
I like how every topic every week, the first post is no new set. No
new
set.
It is. And it's like, we've been talking now for, what, a year? And people haven't figured out that we actually don't have a new set.
Yeah.
We don't have a new set.
We just keep if you guys buying other sets and making those.
Here's the new set.
It was here last week and nobody noticed. Doesn't it look great?
Good job, Marcus.
That's the new
There's
set.
There's the new set.
We should just puppeteer a podcast on that thing one day.
So we're like, if for spoilers, yesterday's Game of Thrones is too close.
Too close.
Is Civil War far enough away we can talk about Civil War?
I still haven't seen it.
I think it's only a week old.
I don't give
old.
A fuck. You can talk about
what?
It.
It's only a week old, isn't
nah,
it?
Nah, it's like 2 weeks old.
No, it's like 3 at this point.
It's like 3 weeks
old. Oh, yeah, because Gav and I went to India, and I need to see it in India.
Didn't it come out on the 7th or 6th?
Yeah, what's today? Like it's the 40th.
23rd.
2 weeks.
Good job. Way to cover your tracks there, Barb. Yeah, so there is a cool thing with Ant-Man in Civil War.
I finally saw Ant-Man.
Oh, what'd you think of Ant-Man? You never saw it?
Awful.
Get out of here.
People like that movie?
It's my kid's favorite Marvel movie.
That movie's fucking terrible.
Although JD's also seen Deadpool, and he kind of liked Deadpool.
Man. Yeah, whatever. That's old news to talk about Ant-Man now. So there was something cool, actually, about him?
So, spoiler in the next 30 seconds here, starting now. Ant-Man goes the opposite direction. He goes big. He uses the pin particles to go big.
Like, no.
Big
yeah.
Man?
It's fucking
awesome.
This
is Civil War he does that?
You haven't seen it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, Jesus.
It makes me wonder why he never did that in his Ant-Man movie. Because it's way cooler than being small. Bloody massive. He's a nightmare.
Yeah, but you gotta fight something to do that. And other stuff did that. Like, there was the big, like, Thomas the Tank Engine got really big.
Yeah, but, like, they kept making fun of the fact he was small too much. Like, they kept, like, he was in that final battle.
It is called
Ant-Man.
And they would,
like, zoom out and be like, you see, like these tiny little
funny.
But yeah, they kept going back to that over and over.
Well,
it's like,
laughing.
We get it.
They're just like, I've seen
tiny.
His dad yet. He's
like,
real small.
What's the name of this ant? You know how many ants are in the world? We can't possibly name them all. Well, what is this one? Number 247. Like, really? Out of the 50 billion ants in the world? Oh, that one's 247.
What do you want?
Giving an ant a fucking number is just as dumb as giving it a name.
Gus,
so stupid.
So passionate about a fucking Marvel movie that came out like 20 years ago.
So you annoyed the number so low?
Yeah.
But what if he started naming them from distance around him, outwards? That was probably a close
guy. Yeah, but he would have started from one a long time ago because he had been controlling the ants for decades.
Or
at
what
this
if
point.
It was like 247,000?
Who said that about the ants? Who
was
that?
It was Pym, wasn't it?
Pym?
Yeah.
Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
Okay. All out.
It was an okay movie. It was like a 6 out of 10.
I would give it a 6
he
out of 10.
He also wasn't small very often.
Also, the only... Again, I'm going to get myself
I thought he was
here.
Small all the time.
The only... It's just because it's Paul Rudd. That's why.
He got in pretty good shape. What is? I want to know what the superhero like trainer is. There's somebody in Hollywood that must train people to play superheroes.
Just buffing them all up.
Everyone gets in amazing shape. Like nobody kind of like tries to get in shape and doesn't make it. Everybody gets fucking totally.
There's no doughy superhero.
Do you follow Olivia Munn on Instagram by any chance?
Yeah. No.
She's going through training right now for the X-Men movie, and it's fucking phenomenal.
I would hope she did that a long time ago.
Maybe she was going through training.
She's training for the red carpet.
I just saw the videos the other day.
Oh, I see. So,
in my mind, it's recent. Yeah.
So she plays Psylocke in, now this is review stuff. Is X-Men out? I know it's out
in
other countries.
It comes out this Friday.
Well, there's already a bunch of reviews for it.
And
which...
they're just finished filming it right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, Olivia Munn is training.
She's still training.
She's probably training to fight off all the fucking terrible reviews that movie's getting. It's so bad, it's called a franchise-ending movie.
But the third one of the original X-Men was as well.
Was that the one that had Deadpool in it?
The Brett Ratner one.
No, that was a Wolverine movie. The third one was Last Stand.
How many X-Men movies are there at this point? Like...
Two Origins, five, and then three.
X-Men
more?
3 was the one with the Dark Phoenix, but it was all fucked up.
Yeah, and everyone, like, all the main cast died.
Yeah. They kill, like, Professor X, like, in the first 15 minutes of that movie, right?
Did Days of Future Past?
What?
Days of Future Past?
No, we're talking about X-Men 3.
All right.
The Brett Ratner one.
They killed Professor X?
Yeah.
See, they disintegrate
him. I really actually like the X-Men a lot. That's one of the main comics besides Iron Man that I grew up reading. And the fact that now it's like there's so many of these movies that I cannot differentiate between them just shows it's like how much fatigue I've got now for superhero movies.
Also, X-Men 3 is how old now? At least 10 years old? 12 years old at this point?
Yeah.
Not that old.
Yeah, I was 7 maybe.
By the way, it's worth going to see Civil War just for Spider-Man. The way that they handled Spider-Man, not to spoil anything, but there's no origin story for Spider-Man.
You must have been so happy.
Oh, so happy. I know they're going to do it, though, whenever they do the Homecoming movie or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to do the origin story for Spider-Man. They can't resist that. They got to show the fucking spider and the bite and like, what? And then he like jumps out of the way of the car and fucking lands on the wall. A bunch of fucking garbage. It's going to look the exact same as every other fucking origin story they've ever done for Spider-Man. But the director's going to be like, I got to put my take on it. Fucking Nick, whoever you are.
When he gets bit at the spider factory, right, Gavin?
Tobey Maguire.
When he goes to the spider factory? Just a regular Spider-Man at the spider factory?
You were cracking up about that like a week ago.
I watched it again, and I was at my desk trying to stifle my laughter because Chelsea was in there, and so I was just crying at my desk.
No, that's the hit movie, Tobey Maguire. That's what that is, Barb.
Hey, who's on this podcast?
Hey!
I'm Gus.
I'm Gavin.
Barbara.
I'm Bernie.
I'm Gus.
I'm just a regular spider.
Why do movies open overseas now before they open in the U.S.?
What is wrong with that, Gus?
I feel like it started with the Avengers, right?
There's two things I don't ever want to do as an American citizen. I don't ever want to see another fucking superhero movie opening in another country.
Well, maybe it shouldn't be filmed in that country.
Also,
then.
I hate this. I'm not scrolling down to get to the United States in a country drop-down list.
First.
When I'm filling out a form, I'm not doing that anymore. You got Canada. You're close to the top. We're like down there with Uruguay.
So, yeah, I'll like arrow down.
Or the UK.
You just scroll all the way down.
If I don't arrow down
really
twice
fast.
And it's not there, I'm not filling that form out.
Patriotic about anything. I'm putting my foot down
all
about
you
that.
Do, you press the thing and you type U.
No, because then you go to like Uruguay, UAE. I mean, there's like.
How big is your drop down? Like this? It's like this. There's loads of it.
You're right. Look at all that scrolling.
Plus, there's times when you don't have that. Like if you're on a mobile device, you're doing that stupid roller thing where you're like rolling. You can't even like type U. You got to like go the whole way through. It's garbage. It's garbage. Just put America. Put us at the top. A.
It's a continent.
We'll be up there with Argentina and the aardvarks.
Just the United States. Make
my
the exception.
Country.
I love the nation of aardvarks. They're the best fucking flag. They hated Ant-Man, though.
I would think they loved it.
They don't want Ant to be a hero.
It's a shame we can't talk about Game of Thrones, because that was the best episode ever last
You can talk about it if you want to.
Nah.
It was pretty good.
It was good. I think it ranks up there. I think Hard...
I liked the Red Wedding episode way better than
I think that episode from yesterday and Hard Home are probably my two favorite episodes.
I think that was...
Well, you like...
It's the one from last season where... the White Walkers invade the town, and there's like that big battle sequence.
Oh, yeah.
And it ends on the like the standoff on the beach and in the boat.
It's the eerie silence.
It's so creepy. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it was so well done. It's also a huge payoff because those fucking White Walkers, they walk. It was so frustrating to see how fast they walked from one place to another in this episode. They got somewhere they wanted to go really fast. Whereas they've just been walking towards that wall, I feel like, for 6 fucking years at this point.
Because they can't cross the wall.
What? Okay, now talk to me about that. Why can't the White Walkers cross the wall? Is there a magic thing, or is it just indefensible?
There is magic imbued into the wall that prevents them from crossing.
I never heard this. Ashley was saying that last night.
It's in the books.
What's the magic in the wall? It's just a big fucking wall.
What is anything in that book?
It's when they constructed it. There was magic imbued into the base as the wall was built up.
Is it like a magic diamond buried in it? Or is it just like the thing is magic on its own?
It's just magic on its own. It's just spells.
Well, there's a loophole now.
There is a loophole.
They just put a heat vent right at the door, so anytime they try to walk through, it just melts them. Magic.
It was. I think that was the saddest episode.
It was.
Well,
yeah.
We can't go too deep into it, because people will say they're scared of spoilers and they'll tune out.
Okay.
People really did not respect spoilers on social media after that episode.
No.
I
don't
think. Listen, I think we're getting to a point, too. I think we need to recognize that spoilers are up until the thing comes out. And after the thing comes out and you have an opportunity to watch it, movies might be a little different. But something like Game of Thrones, which is so plot-heavy, if you're just like hanging out on Twitter instead of watching the show that you really, really care about, I don't know. I think it's like fair game at this point.
Well, I mean, we couldn't watch it the other day. We were in India.
What about India?
We couldn't watch it there.
I did.
Oh.
Ashley, we watched the episode in India, right? Ashley's got tricks, dude. By the way, being in India, I feel other countries' pain for like when you want to watch a video and it's like, not for your country. Get out of here. Not having it.
Yep.
Because like everything I clicked on was that. Nobody wants to show anything in India. Or they must have rights holders that have the rights to things.
And but you were able to watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, we got this trick we can do. You can do it in Chrome, where you can change your location with the developer tools. Like, you have the longitude and latitude coordinates.
What, it acts like a VPN?
Like Los Angeles. No, you just set your coordinates of, like...
What? This as is easy as that?
Easy as that. Hit, like, shit... What do you... Where's Ash? You hit, like, shift F11. You check a box. Done. I learned that for when we were doing The Amazing Race, because we would watch the East Coast feed live, and then we needed to watch the West Coast feed, so we just, like, say, hey, we're in Los Angeles.
Oh.
How you like me now?
You guys have an Amazing Race panel at RTX?
We do. Can we say who's on that? Because a lot of people are asking who's on it.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
Right now, it's you, Ashley, Brody, and Kurt.
Cool.
So it'll be really fun.
Sherry was asking me about it.
Hey, they want to come too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think people would like to hear from Sherry.
Yeah.
I would like to hear from Sherry.
They were a surprise hit team, I think. I didn't expect them to go as far as they did.
Yeah. real happy.
I forgot to mention that it's Gavin's birthday.
Oh, that's happy true. Birthday, Gavin.
I'm 28 today.
Gavin is almost the age that I was when I met Gavin.
Wow. I think Barbara and I were talking before the show, and I think she's about the age that I was when I first met her.
Yeah.
But we
Yeah,
that called her an old man. But we have a cake for Gavin.
Do we really?
How is it possible that you've caught up to Gus, but Gavin or Gav's not caught up to me?
Because you're older than me.
What's the math on that, though?
You're older.
That's like saying, why is four?
It's still the same number of years.
Why is four bigger than two?
Still the same. Hold on one second. Let me do the math.
Oh, look at the cake.
Let me do the math. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's so sweet.
What does it say?
Slipped in my car.
Oh, yeah. It looks.
It slept in your car?
It slipped.
Oh.
Birthday.
Gavin, here. You want to do the honors?
Yeah.
There's no candles. We should have candles. I get nervous about serrated knives now because I cut my hand on the
serrated knife. So I realized today that.
Grab the knife!
I realized today that I signed up for Rooster Teeth when I was 14, which now means it's half of my life I've been on Rooster Teeth.
Cut that cake.
Yes, cut the cake.
Who wants a bit?
I'll take a bit.
You are really weak.
Is it going to explode? What's it?
It's serrated. Fucking saw.
Gavin, you're terrible at this.
Have you ever cut a cake before?
All right, there we go.
That's your piece.
It's nice frosting on it.
For the audio listeners, Gavin is butchering a cake.
And this is the point in which we point out that this is not a cake. We bought a loaf of bread, got it all wet, and then frosted it for Gavin.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah, it's wet bread cake.
Here, you want a bite?
I was like, that doesn't
turn
like
it
cake.
To camera.
I was like, why wouldn't it cut properly?
Here we go.
He's over here. Real cake.
Oh. Meg does have a real cake for you.
Got a real cake.
Oh.
This is our loaf. Oh, gross, Gavin. It's all wet.
It says happy birthday, idiot.
Oh, that's so sweet. Have you taken a picture of that?
I just licked my fingers.
You licked your finger.
Oh, the coffee.
Yay.
Hi.
Thanks, Meg.
I got to do the math on this. So how old were you when you met Barbara?
27?
It smells like farts.
Why does it smell like
this is not a wet bread cake. Wink.
Why does it smell like
Is it a fart cake?
What do you think it smells
regular
like?
Regular cake.
We only have budget for one joke cake.
Why does it
We don't have budget for two joke cakes.
We only have the
top came off. It smells like
bandwidth for one joke.
Did someone crop dust us just now?
Meg, did you fart on your way out?
Was it you?
There's been a lot of people walking by. We can capture this on video.
Yeah, Gavin, you were 15 when we met?
In real life?
No, online.
Oh.
I'm disappointed that the wet bread cake didn't, send him into a fit.
It wasn't wet, for a start.
Can I be honest?
It is wet.
That's horrifying.
I think it dried out.
I think the first time I met, look at that bread.
On the new set.
On the new set. You're fucking terrible.
Wipe that knife off. Let's cut the cake.
Gavin, I will give you. I will give you $10 to eat a piece. Of that wet bread cake.
No.
Here, cut some cake for everybody, so the crew can have some cake too.
The bread cake or the real fart cake?
The real cake, not the fart cake.
The 1 week I don't have a trash can handy.
Barbara, I got a knife. I'll slit your throat.
Barbara's trying to feed Gavin some wet bread.
You.
So Gavin and I went to India, and we stop it. We had a Gavin and I went to India. We posted some information about it to film a documentary where we tried to go and find Baba, the cosmic barber in Pushkar, India.
Baba.
And the whole time we were in Pushkar. Pushkar is a holy city. Holy, Meg, you want a piece of cake?
No.
Really? You can have a piece of cake if you want to.
Hey.
It
needs more when you allow
it. It does, doesn't it?
Hey, you guys,
you have been given permission to eat a piece of the cake that you brought.
No matter, my cake's not good enough. She walked away from my cake.
I was messaging Gus too, because I was like, I gotta get to fucking yoga. Can we do this cake?
Yeah, she's like, when we were doing the cake, I was like, oh, right, the cake. I forgot about it.
So you're leaving for yoga. You're gonna take, you should take cake to your yoga class. That would be,
take the bread
that
one.
Would be awesome.
Give me some cake.
Today is cake.
You can be like, just take a mouthful and be like, no,
Gus, do you want me to cut you a piece?
Yeah, I'm kind of tethered. Okay, since Gavin's not offering to do it.
So in Pushkar, India, where we were, it was a Hindu holy city, which meant there was no meat in this, or I don't know if that's a rule for all holy cities, but in this particular city, there was no meat and no alcohol allowed.
Oh, damn.
So that was, I think, the few days that we were there, Gus, I think literally that's the longest I've ever been vegetarian.
Which is ridiculous.
That's kind of crazy.
No, folks over there? Surely you must have had a few days in a row where you just had like pasta or salad or
a
sandwich.
If I have pasta, it's got meat in it.
I don't
too.
Think I've even gone one day.
Right.
Without
what are
meat.
You talking about?
What do you not understand about the
I'm
fucking
saying
sentence
it's
I just
ridiculous.
Said?
What a ridiculous statement. You've never had one day without meat?
Correct.
That can be true.
Why is that so hard to believe?
No, it's not hard to believe at all.
Because you're friends with Bethany.
Three straight meals.
I work with Bethany. Let's be very clear about the level of interaction I have with
let's
her.
Go crazy.
Are you guys not
with
friends?
The adjectives.
We work together. We share an office.
You're so friends.
What is? Where's the forks for the food?
I just gave them to Gus.
Can you have all the forks?
A beer?
I asked for a fork and I was given 24.
You want a beer on your birthday?
Yeah.
So what is 28? Like, is there anything here that's a big deal? Like, were you looking forward to 28? Or is 28 just like now? Go ahead. One more. Got this.
Hey.
Cake, anybody? Hey Ash, what's the command that you use to change your location in Chrome?
I use geolocation emulation.
Control Shift I.
And then a whole bunch of other things.
Are you sick?
Other stuff.
I'm better mostly.
Ashley got a little sick in India.
No.
So did our director Matt Haynes. They got pretty sick.
On what?
Peeing out the butt.
She pooped like 8 times on the plane. Am I revealing too much information?
No.
Too late.
She threw up on a plane. That's I've never done that. That seems like a really low point.
And I feel like I throw up for anything.
You
food,
got clean.
Food related, and I was absolutely fine.
Now I usually don't throw up for anything, and I did fine in this too.
The steaks were worse for you.
You know what it was? The director was kind of hoping the entire time that we would get sick because he thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
And so he kind of cursed himself
a
little bit. Also, we were very careful about everything we ate and drank, although Gavin and I did eat from a street vendor. Can't talk too much about it because there's a documentary being produced about this. But the last day when we were headed home, everyone felt, we're going home, so let's not be as careful. Which, of course, we had a 10-hour flight from Delhi to London and then a 10-hour flight from London to Austin. Ugh. That was a horrible time for them to get less cautious because they were all sick on these planes.
Something about getting off a 9-hour flight, knowing that you're about to get on a 10-hour flight, is so depressing.
We did something I've never done before, though.
We had a shower.
Not separately, yes.
Not separately?
Together?
I want to be clear. We had separate showers. We took showers in the London Heathrow airport. Mm-hmm. That greatest thing ever, by the way.
Yeah. Great pressure as
well. Like, good showers, or just the fact that you got to take a shower at an airport?
There you go. Just the fact that we got off an international flight Took a shower before
the shower was also very good. It had like those body jets that come out from the sides.
I saw showers at Heathrow the other day coming back in the airline club in the lounge. I was like, oh,
why were you?
Really
are they
impact.
Available to everybody though?
Depends. Showers?
Well, you can
sometimes
pay to get in.
Yeah, you can just pay to get in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's not just like
they're free for like frequent flyers.
There's nobody like hanging out in there or anything like that. If that's what you're asking.
Why?
It's like a sauna. Some guys in a towel in there. Like,
what'd you get up to in the UK?
Guys in there trying to use the plugs. Basically,
did you do anything fun?
What did I do? Anything
fun? Did you
have
a few pints?
I had a few pints.
They're English pints. They're bigger.
Yeah, they are. They are bigger. The beer there is, it's so weird to me. It's like you go into a pub and it's like, here are the four choices we have. It's like, I never heard of any of them. Go to another pub down the street, totally different choices. Yep. Haven't heard of any of those.
That's how you do.
So, okay.
You go to specific pubs sometimes because it's like, oh, that one has Peroni.
Right. And it's like, okay, this pub, according to this, you know, leaflet that they have on the fucking bar, they've been serving this beer since 1790. Okay. Like your beer in your pub is almost as old as my country.
Yep.
When we went to
Keep
Scotland,
mad shits.
We got a beer that I've never been able to find anywhere else. It's called Dukers, and I've never been able to
sounds
find.
Sounds like a poo.
It does a little bit. I haven't been able to find Dukers anywhere else. I remember the name very well because it was spelled D-E-U-C-H-A-R apostrophe S. So when I went up to the bar, I thought it was pronounced Duchars. And I asked for Duchars, and they're like, what? There's Scotland. And I was like, I said, Duchars. And they go, you mean Dukers? And I was like, oh, Dukers. And then they just sat there and fucking laughed at me. And
got a point.
There.
I'll have one of those.
Yeah.
I would fuckers. Never try to pronounce anything if I was in that situation. I just
like
point.
Scotland's worried about pronunciation.
We were.
It's not like they have marbles in their mouth.
We were like deep.
No offense if you're from Scotland, but your country kind of sucks.
We were deep in Indian land, and I've never before seen so many people taking shits in the same day.
It's true. Like, I don't think that'll make the dock.
You've never, what?
We took a 6-hour train ride, and just pulling out of Delhi, and we can say this stuff, right? There were just, like, 20 people on the railway tracks taking dumps.
On the tracks?
Yeah it's like...
Or in just plain view.
Do they do it on the tracks purposely so when the train
wasn't
runs
like,
over them?
It wasn't, like, on the metal.
Nobody thinks like you. This is just a daily routine
but
for
they, basically, they could have hid in bushes or something,
mm-hmm.
but everyone was just squatted facing the train. So I think it must be really exhilarating to take a dump and have like feces coming out of your anus while there's a train full of people going by. Because what can they do about it? I think that's why they do it.
Right. What are you gonna do? Stop the train?
Yeah, oh, you gotta hit the brakes and get off and come and
that's what keeps Gavin from doing that. Somebody might do something about it. But if there's a situation where they can't do anything about it.
Well, I mean, would you poo?
Game on.
While I was in London, I took a day and I flew out to Dublin. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing over there?
And,
did you have a Guinness?
So I'd never been to Dublin. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to have a Guinness and drink an
it's
Irish
better
whiskey.
In Dublin.
So I flew to Dublin and I stayed at a nice hotel. And, you know, overnight when I woke up, you know, the next morning, I had to use the facilities. There was no train nearby, so I had to use the toilet. And I realized people in Ireland must be fucking tough because that toilet paper at a nice hotel was like, rock hard.
Sandpaper?
Yeah, it was like, it was difficult to fold it. It was like so rough and thick. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah,
like, they wipe
is.
Their ass with this? Like, don't fuck with anyone from Ireland.
Like newspaper.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably better for getting all the Grogans out there.
Yeah, it was.
Why would that be the case?
Yeah, wouldn't it be softer? It would be better?
It's like sandpaper.
It's like grinding it away.
Right.
No.
But I feel like you need
it's like getting a belt sander and getting up
what's
there.
What's your logic there? I mean,
like, what's going to be cleaner? Me wiping my arm with like a wet wipe or me sanding the skin off?
A wet wipe.
Yeah, but it's like the hardness doesn't matter. Would you rather wipe your butt with a piece of toilet paper or a handful of quarters? Which would you prefer?
Why money?
Because it's hard. It's quarters.
Oh, I thought he said quartz. I was really either way, I guess it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it still doesn't make sense.
No, I think it worked better. I'm with you.
Y'all are weird.
Y'all are weird. So is that way you're telling us you're going to switch to like sandpaper grade?
I'm going to import toilet paper from Ireland.
You know, I feel like we haven't been on the podcast yet in a long time.
It's been a while. It's been like 3 or 4 weeks.
All four of us, you mean, or just you two?
I had to miss the one before. What was it? What did I have to miss the one before India?
Were you in New York?
Yes. I was in New York.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
We did the New Fronts.
Show offs.
How was that?
We get up and make a bunch of presentations for a bunch of people who don't understand anything about like digital media. So that's fucking awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So like it was fun though. We showed a cool thing for Immersion 360, which is like a concept for a show. Now the audience got hold of it and they're all like, oh, I can't wait to see this. It's like the purpose of that demonstration is to find somebody who will sponsor that show and make it possible. Otherwise, that's a ridiculously expensive show to try to shoot Immersion in full 360. So it's like one of those instances where you see, like, if we can get a sponsor and get a brand involved, then that show can happen. So that's a good thing, you know? And they can make content possible. But that show is not going to happen unless somebody, like, decides they want to, like, help us make it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. They might be busy helping other people make that exact same show.
Here, I'm going to read this thing. I want to remind everyone, this episode of the Rooster Teeth Podcast is brought to you by Nature Box. Trying to eat better but think nutrition labels are confusing? Nature Box has a snack for that. They've taken out the guesswork and frustration so you can snack confidently and stop wasting time sifting through nutrition labels. Nature Box makes over 100 ridiculously delicious snacks that they source from all over the world for you to choose from. My personal favorites include vanilla bean wafers and Santa Fe corn sticks. NatureBox makes it really easy to find the snacks you want without questioning what's in them. Plus, they're constantly adding new and interesting snacks for you to discover. NatureBox believes you shouldn't eat something you don't like, so if you try a snack you don't like, they'll replace it in your next box for free. You can't do that with other snacks. Go to naturebox.com/roosterteeth right now. Get 50% off your first box of delicious and unique snacks without any of the junk. That's naturebox.com/roosterteeth. 50% off your first box of the best tasting snacks in the world. Naturebox.com/roosterteeth for 50% off. So,
wait, go back. Vanilla bean wafers. How come you have not given me any of those? Because, I've never had that.
Because you haven't been by in a long time to raid my snacks.
Where, I don't even know. Where do you office now?
Yeah. Same place. I haven't moved.
Where do you so office?
Where do you summer? So, if I go there, you have all the snacks in there? Are you back to that?
Yes.
Because what you're doing for a long time is I would go in there and you would have snacks from like 3 months ago that had been opened. And then I would have to like pick through them. Barb, you know, because you used to be in there.
I remember.
Oh, no. That's all there.
I feel good.
It's not out displayed. It's in the white cabinet.
Did we reveal, by the way, the end of your troll thing that you were dealing with?
Yeah. We talked about that.
I went to Barbara's office today and I'm like so glad. I'm like, I have like, like this Pavlovian response when I walk in your office because I'm looking for places to hide these trolls.
There's a couple places I never mentioned publicly where you hid them.
One of them was great. I said it like we were here late at night and I just said it in the parking lot facing the door under a street
light. It was perfectly in the only light that's in our parking lot.
It was awful. It was
like a horror movie.
Terrifying.
You never said a word about that one either, so I thought that was too far.
I didn't want to because I didn't know, like, what if this is a fan?
Yeah.
That, like, somehow broke into our office and is placing troll dolls all around.
Pretty big, man.
And also, you put them in my purse.
Here's how I did that, just so you know. I would do this. I would go, murph, like that. I would like look away and put it in there.
He would sneak into your place while you were asleep, smell your hair, and then put the troll doll in your purse.
It wasn't anything weird. And weave the troll doll.
The creepy part is I only ever found those when I got home.
Yeah, that
must be
weird.
I never found them at work.
Yeah.
So I'd be like taking my stuff out of my purse and I'd be like,
it's a good job you didn't have like a full on breakdown about it.
If
like,
I ever threw one in your purse, I usually hid someone else in the office.
I had a few breakdowns.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry. But I was legitimately freaked out.
Also, I don't think you can call like anything that I did about placing these things weird after you would take them, cut their hair off, and then hang them from your air ducts.
Scalped them.
That was strange behavior.
Listen, I needed to send a warning to whoever was doing it, that their troll dolls are going to get fucked
message,
up.
Message received.
You also put one on the floor of my office when I was gone for the week. So when I walked back in, there was just a troll doll
just sitting there,
standing on the floor.
I like basically hid them in your office in different places. It was really, and then sometimes on the podcast set. That was it.
Yeah.
So, and I was supposed to like
on a
do
night
them all.
I wasn't here.
I was supposed to do them all like 2 weeks. It took me like 6 months. I was like, oh shit, I haven't done that in like 3 weeks. But you said that made it weirder.
It made it harder to guess who was doing it.
Yeah. We should probably fill people in for who didn't hear the podcast. We did that. Barb was going through this thing where she was finding troll dolls hidden all over the place. And a friend of ours, she was on the site years and years ago. Still has an account, but you know, probably not as active. And
she still posts.
She was in the generation of like Babs and Gavin on the site.
Babs and Gavs.
And she actually married another member of the site. Anyway, she got in contact with me and said, hey, I used to play this prank where I'd put troll dolls and hide them around where Barbara was. I mean, it's something you guys didn't.
It was like, one troll doll that we'd go back and forth.
Back and forth, huh? And so she said, I'm going to send you a bunch of them. If you don't mind, you can hide them. I was like, I love this. I'm in. And so did it. But I was supposed to do it, like I said, over the course of 2 weeks. And I did it over the course of 6 months. I just kept forgetting and then remembering.
It made it better.
Yeah? Made it more creepy? Yeah.
Definitely.
So this last time I was in London.
Yeah.
I flew out. When I went to Dublin, I flew out of London City Airport instead of Heathrow.
I've never been to London City Airport.
It's
What's
amazing.
It like? Is it good?
Yeah. It's you know, it's an international flight, and I asked people there, like, you know, I'm flying to Dublin out of London City Airport. How early should I show up for my flight? They're like, oh, just get there 40 minutes before your flight. You'll be fine.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like,
okay. I was like,
it's international, though.
Yeah, totally fine. Not a problem at all.
And then when it's such a short distance.
And then when I flew back into the UK, I flew back into Heathrow. I got off the plane. Again, another international flight, Dublin to London. Got off the plane in London and then like was following the signs like, you know, this way, passport holders. And the next thing I knew, I was just out of the airport. I was like, is nobody going to check my passport? Nobody checked.
I just wandered out.
I wandered right out of Heathrow.
What?
Wow.
I guess because you would have had to have had a passport to get in.
But they can say that anytime. Like going from the US to the UK.
Wait, so you didn't do customs?
No. It was just like getting off of a normal flight.
That is strange.
It was really
from Dublin?
I felt like I did something wrong, but I followed all the fucking
no,
signs.
No, you did something wrong.
I followed every sign.
You should go to jail. That's how I feel.
Non-EU passport holder.
You shouldn't be allowed to be
Did you go
here.
Through like a push bar door and an alarm went off or anything like that?
Well, like three of those.
Hey, Gus, let me ask you a question because Gavin and I were discussing this. Barbara, you can weigh in too.
I hope you're talking about
me. Oh, thanks.
No, we were talking about you. Okay. We did, but we said how much we liked you.
Okay, good.
So we flew into, actually for that trip that we went to New York for, Gavin and I flew into Newark Airport. Mm-hmm.
But, well, that was your fault.
That was my fault. That I booked that flight. And it was, but it wasn't my fault that you got your fucking bag checked. Also, my bag checked. We had a bagel. We had a thing
gate
where we decided to go get a bagel. And the time that took us to go get a bagel, they were so fucking slow, Gus. I mean, we went to get the fastest possible thing to eat, and it took
at the airport.
It took they took them like 15 minutes at DFW.
I've noticed something about you.
I just wanted to,
from traveling with you.
What is it?
And this is why I'm so surprised you made it so far on the Amazing Race. You make bad decisions. Bad travel decisions.
We went to
Newark instead of JFK. I went with you to get a bagel because you were like, let's get a bagel. The few times where I'm like, nah, I'm going to do this, I always come out in front. Like, do you remember in the line and you were like, I'm going to get in this line because they called priority boarding, but you went through like the general boarding hole because it was a shorter line. I was like, yeah, but what if they then don't allow you in, you have to come through the priority line. And that's exactly what they did. Your ass is at the back of the line. Yeah, and I was just like a split second decision of gut feeling, and I always come out on top.
I did have a couple moments like that. No, I did. He's right, though. I had a couple moments like that because when we were leaving India, we got in line, and it was like, Gavin said, do we need hard copies of our boarding pass? And I was like, nah.
And I was like,
fine.
You're going to hate it if we get all the way through this line that's like 40 minutes long, and they say you need a printout. And you were like, eh. Got to them and they sent us all the way back. They're like, go and print your boarding pass.
That was pretty dumb of me.
Why? Did they not take the digital?
No, they don't do digital there.
Why?
We were so screamingly mad about the Indian airport in what was that? That was in Jaipur? Or was that in Delhi?
It was Delhi where we were in the line.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let us in the airport. Like, at the front door, they're checking to see that we have a boarding pass. It's like, all the ticket machines are in there, right
past you. For
some
reason, you. Indian airports, they don't let you in literally the front doors of the airport without a boarding pass.
Right. Whereas in most other airports, everywhere else in the world, you go into the airport to print your boarding pass.
I wonder if that's a change because of the recent attack.
What's the recent attack?
In the airport where they attacked in the common area.
In
Brussels, right?
New Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
New Brussels. Brussels.
Everyone else seemed to think this was standard operating procedure because they all had their boarding pass and they were ready to go. But I was aggravated.
But we have established that your IQ goes way
down.
Mine.
Yours does too.
Well, yeah, we both kind of bring each other down.
So what was your complaint? Newark?
Gavin and I were discussing this. When you fly into an American airport, international, it's awful.
When you fly into an American airport.
If your destination is America, you land, it's like your first impression of America is one of these international terminals. Maybe except for DFW. Maybe.
LAX has a great international
terminal. No, that is the worst.
The international terminal?
Tom Bradley
fool.
Is like a third world country.
And it's like they're all aggressive.
It's so clean.
What Tom Bradley airport are you flying into?
It's like built in the 60s.
The LAX international terminal?
It's awful.
Have you guys been there recently?
It is like
it's full
the
of people
bar
yelling
in my mind for the lowest of the low when it comes to airports. It's like
so. You agree with what we're saying? Can you think of a good inbound international terminal in America?
San Francisco's all right.
Who flies into San Francisco?
Apparently, does.
Who does that?
People from Australia.
All right.
Lots of Asian flights.
Haven't done it, so I'm going to take your word for it.
San Francisco's all right.
Austin now has an international.
Austin's always had international.
What do you mean,
Mexico?
We never had customs. in Austin?
Flying international to Mexico. That's an international flight.
Yeah, but we don't have customs coming back in, do we?
Yeah, we do.
No, that's new.
No. Oh, it's relatively new. It used to be smaller, but yeah, it's always been there.
No.
It's now there's like a dedicated area for it. Before
it's garbage now. Like, they've got that thing where they send you to the middle and then to the left, and it's like, just put us in a line. That's it.
I'm actually, because I can't use the machines there, I don't qualify for like any of the easy stuff, but it does mean I can just skip all of the line and just go straight to an agent and get out. So even though I'm like really inconvenienced with all my British paperwork for my visa, I'm the first out every single time.
It's really funny too, because we had been flying with Gavin at this point for about 30 hours.
Yeah.
With all the travel and everything else. And Ashley was like, we finally got through the passport line. We're in Austin. It was like, Ashley goes, do you think Gavin needs a ride? And I looked around and go, Gavin's not here. He's already gone. He didn't even say goodbye. He's just gone. She's like, well, maybe we should look for him. I go, Gavin, trust me, Gavin is gone. He's not going to say goodbye. He's just Irish exit. He's gone.
I did I text everyone goodbye when I was like halfway home.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, except for you.
They were already puking at that point. What a mess. Here's a bad job. Here's a job I don't ever want in my life.
Ice cream seller?
You can tell that in a second.
Achievement hunter.
Achievement hunter. Funhouse janitor. I don't ever want this job. When we flew from Delhi to London, it was an overnight flight, okay? So an overnight flight is a lot of humanity, Gus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the thing is, you are on the plane, like, slowly acclimating to all that humanity as it gets worse over the course of the night.
Right.
Right? I was thinking about this. The dude who's standing in the jetway when the plane pulls up and he opens that door, that's got to be fucking awful. That's really got to be like a terror. Oh, it's like opening a tomb, like an Egyptian tomb. It's got to be just like...
Or a can of fish.
that's got to be a horrible job.
That can't be worse than the people who have to clean an international plane and turn that around.
I think the plane that's like, once they get those doors open, they probably just exchange the air in it so fast. But like all that humanity.
Recirculated.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like sitting in there, stupid.
And think of like a lot of these people are tourists... Not from India, who have just eaten a bunch of Indian food.
Oh, dear Lord.
There's a lot of gas in there.
It's got to be rough.
I have a question about flying. Why is it, no matter how long your flight is, it could be half an hour, it could be 6 hours, whatever it is, you always feel so fucking gross when you get off that flight?
I think it's because you're sitting, like, for so long.
But
like,
even if it's half an hour.
Yeah, I think it's the I get, you know what happens to me? I get dry.
Like, I get oily.
You get oily?
I get really oily. Super oily. Like you lube a car with the fucking oil off of my forehead.
I like the idea of some guy under a car, like in the undercarriage, rubbing your head around in there.
No, I get super I think
it's just,
fucking
yeah,
oily.
It's just gross environment, gross air.
And recycled air.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's why that shower was like. Oh my goodness,
why is it recycled air? Why don't they just suck in new air? What does that mean, recycled air?
There's probably not enough air.
They run it through that filter.
In the air?
They got those HEPA things.
Not enough air in the air.
They're so high. There's not enough pressure.
You no, mean oxygen. True. But they can pull in new air. And just
but
put...
there's not enough of it.
Speaking of which, I don't want to laugh about this.
The volume's too light. That's why like jet engines can't go up forever. There's not enough actual air.
If you can fly on it, you can pump some in, right?
You can fly on it.
All right, you were saying.
Speaking of thin air, did you hear about the woman who scaled Mount Everest to the beach? Sorry, just have a little burp there. So she scaled Mount Everest. She's a vegan, and she wanted to scale Mount Everesta because she wanted to prove that vegans could do anything that people under a normal diet could do.
Except wow. Eat meat.
Do you want to guess how this ended?
Did she die?
She died. she died.
I had not heard that.
She died on the descent, which is very sad.
How did she die?
Well, I mean, I could tell that you thought it was
she
sad.
Ran out of air because she was telling everyone about how she was a vegan.
No, it's there's a lot.
That's it. Good night, folks. We're out of here.
She's telling some Sherpa. It's a really healthy lifestyle. Yeah, I'll read. Let me pull up the article here. So
there's a
it's
video
very unfortunate that she died. But look, if you're climbing Mount Everest, where people die like every single week. That's an acceptable risk, right? That, you know, that person's going to die. It wasn't like she was walking down the street and got hit by a piano or something like that.
It wasn't like some kind of cartoon-type accident?
Wasn't that. It was a vegan on Mount Everest. Trying to prove vegans can do anything dies of altitude sickness.
Well, I mean, that is doing the same as someone who eats meat. That happens.
Wow, unbelievable.
I'll open up for you.
Australian woman who set out to climb Mount Everest to prove that vegans can do anything died Saturday after developing altitude sickness. What is that? Thanks.
Not enough air.
She tried to let the air in and there wasn't enough.
It was all recycled.
Ooh. These guys were not amateurs. They were experienced climbers.
Well, I mean, of course, if they're trying to climb Everest, you got to be an experienced climber.
Stridham had sought out to prove that she could scale the mountain while on a vegan diet. The Monash University lecturer told the university's blog, quote, "It seems that people have this warped idea of vegans being malnourished and weak," she said. "By climbing the seven summits, we want to prove that vegans can do anything and more." Wow, that is rough.
They can die?
Apparently, you know, someone did make the point, it's like, so she could do anything that meat eaters do, because meat eaters go up there all the time and die.
And die, yeah.
So it's just like, that is exactly the expected outcome of going to the top of the world, essentially, where there is no air.
So I just thought about something, going stepping back a second.
Would you ever climb Mount Everest?
God, no.
Really?
No, there's no way. That would not end well.
I would try it.
Gavin and I have set our next adventure what we would like to do, because I've always wanted to go to India.
Is it climb Mount Everest?
I would like to touch all seven continents.
That'd be interesting.
Like, would you
like to do that? I'd like to do that.
What do you mean physically? Like, no, I want to write them a nice letter and touch their hearts. What's that?
What is the alternate to your question?
Like, really, that's what I'm asking.
Go to a continent. I'm thinking like you get off the plane, you touch it, and then you leave.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Either one qualifies.
They're okay. Both the same.
So you,
I'm just imagining a documentary of you flying somewhere. And
like if somebody shit me a rock from Africa and I touched it, that's not the same
thing.
Count. I've got to go there and do it. All I have left at this point is Africa and Antarctica. I don't know of a single, we're going to find out after this podcast airs, if there's a single country in the world that doesn't teach that Africa and Antarctica are continents. Because I found out that apparently there's a lot of things that I thought were continents that
Australasia?
South America! There's people in the world that teach that South America is not a separate continent.
They just call it America?
It's all part of the same bullshit. Shebang. Bullshit. It's one big thing. I agree with you.
So people are commenting that when smoking was allowed on flights, that they would actually pull in air to avoid recirculating smoky air.
Why do they still do that?
How do you pull in air?
So everyone quit smoking and everyone got more disgusting air.
But it made me think about something else I had read a few months ago. About how, you know, the 747 is like the big plane, two decks, been flying for probably over 40 years at this point. And when that plane first came out, that in the cockpit, they had a sextant hole. Because I guess computer navigation wasn't far enough along that when planes were out over the ocean, the flight engineer would have to bust out a sextant and look at the stars and make sure they were still on course.
That's cool. That's some classic crap.
What, they didn't have a compass?
And
to draw a circle?
Maybe just to make sure that they were right. But I guess.
What do you fuck do you call it?
It's a compass.
There we go.
Once they, I guess, didn't need the sextant anymore, and when smoking was being phased out on flights, some of the crew would use it as a smoking hole. Because they could smoke and then blow out there because it was an open hole for the sextant.
That's funny.
Wait a minute. There's a hole? Like, literally, when you said, I thought you were saying
a hole. H-O-L-E.
A hole in the plane, and they put the sextant outside?
Yeah, a sex hole.
Is that how glory hole started? Damn it.
That's fucking bullshit. That's what they tell the co-pilot on the first day to haze him, is that like the little portal thing is to the outside.
Imagine sticking your dick outside of an airplane.
Just be pasted to the side of the plane.
Okay. So let's go back to Game of Thrones.
Rip your skin off.
I think there's a spoiler, but I think it's also a public service announcement. There is, at the beginning of Game of Thrones, of this last episode, there is the nudity warning, which we always clap for in my house. That was a big fucking switcheroo.
Well, it started off so well because there's some nice jubblies.
Yep.
There were jubblies.
And then there was a close-up, extreme wide angle, right in there close-up of just a flaccid, stretched penis.
I've never seen
with
such...
warts on it.
I've never seen such full-frame dick before.
It was like
the guy framing up on that must have been like, oh, that is sharp.
And it wasn't
4K.
Just like a quick cut. It was like, dick.
And then he was like...
Slow pan back.
And he was like, sort of bending it and peeling it.
It was an examination going on. It was like a full like routine happening there. That was startling.
Yeah.
I was okay with it.
Were you?
They deliberately do that to psych us out. They're like, oh, tits. Whoa.
Yeah, they're pulling switcheroos on the nudity.
It was just so funny.
It's not even like good.
It's funny.
It was funny, yeah.
But like, you're not going into Game of Thrones hoping for flaccid penis. Are you?
I mean,
like
sometimes.
But that was the thing about it. It wasn't even like a nice aerodynamic shaft. It was like a flaccid, stretched, warty penis.
Two warts
specifically.
It was just nice to see some equality on the show.
I get that. Yeah. I totally get that. Ashley and I have been watching the first season of Game of Thrones again. Which, by the way, the first couple episodes, do you have HBO Now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
HBO Go.
Whatever. You can go back and watch the earlier seasons, mm-hmm. right? So go back and watch season one. One of the really cool things about season one is they do wide shots of everything. And it was really weird, too, because they even did, like, little titles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they would show Winterfell from afar, and they'd say Winterfell on the screen. And then they did the same thing for King's Landing.
Oh, you mean wide, like, showing the whole town?
Yeah, showing the whole thing in the context of where it is
in
the world.
They've just already established that now.
Yeah, but they were such cool shots. Yeah. Like, they were really cool, and I'm sorry.
It seemed like they could have been staples.
Sure, yeah. They do this fucking map at the beginning with the Legos and all that stuff.
I really want to watch Game of Thrones all the way through again. How do I convince Aaron to watch it?
Oh, he's lost course.
Tell him to watch it.
You can't get
tell him
you
can see a warty penis 6 seasons in if he sticks with it.
Well, don't tell him it's 6 like seasons that. In. Just tell him it comes at some
it
point.
Comes.
Stick with it.
Keep watching. It'll come soon.
I mean, Bernie convinced me to watch it with just the first episode. It was amazing.
Okay.
It was good. I think we picked it up like season 2 or 3. And, like, you know.
You showed it to me on the way to Australia.
Ah, is that what I did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had that headphone. Oh, I think we both had it on our laptops. So we both pressed play at the same time because you wanted to watch it.
You don't have to tell people that. That's too much.
Yeah, then you shower together.
Some things are just for us, Kevin.
It's definitely one of those shows that when it was first airing, I thought, that sounds like the nerdiest, dorkiest show ever.
Perfect for you.
Yeah, but I didn't want to watch it.
It might be the only show that I've watched because of memes.
Like, Winter is Coming.
The Winter is Coming meme.
I thought you said because of me.
because of me. I did it just for me, Bob.
Because of memes.
So, but in the first season when Khal Drogo,
Drogo,
he first gets with Daenerys. There's a lot of, like, sex scenes, which in the book I think they handled better because it seems way more non-consensual in the show, and it's not in the book.
Kind of is at first.
Kind of is at first, but they don't actually have sex until it's, like till she falls in love with him, right? Or something like that.
What does he call it? The something between her legs? The way he phrases it in the book? Talk about
her sex. You talk about what George R. R. Martin says?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, he's
vagina.
Embarrassing
her
sometimes.
Her moon and stars?
What?
Nothing.
Her lucky horseshoe. Yeah.
But there was a scene like
a crescent.
We were talking about the equality. So Daenerys is like naked all the time, which is kind of creepy going back and watching season one because everybody looks like so much younger.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, yeah. But then there's a scene where Drogo is naked and she's like pulling him to the bed. But they're like framing it in such a way that you're always like staying like you're not crossing over the hip. You see the tush.
Mm-hmm.
And like you could cross over at any point and get pay dirt. And it's like, I swear, Ashley's leaning, like, on the couch. She's just trying to lean and catch
dude,
a look.
That Drogo.
He's a good-looking dude. Who's the best-looking dude in Game of Thrones?
Other than Drogo?
You think Drogo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get
he
it.
He was cross-eyed.
Really?
He's got lazy eye.
So Dan was into him.
Dan would love Drogo. He does have a wonky eye.
All right. That was actually good. Do the wonky eye again.
That?
No, his went out that way, not in.
Oh, hang on. I can't do that.
But you should go back and watch it. Just watch like the first episode. It's really cool.
I feel like going back and watching it, the first episode, I probably haven't watched it in like a year now, but I watched about a year ago, and I feel like the first episode was really slow.
It has to introduce a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's right. World building.
Yeah. Too many wide establishing shots.
Who did they introduce in the first episode? Everybody?
Ned Stark's the big one.
Yeah.
And then the Dire
Wolves.
No,
the Starks are big.
Yeah.
All right, I want to do a test on Gus based around something we experienced in India.
Robert Rath. Go ahead.
So if I said to you, Gus, all right, we'll get some food from the street vendor, and then we'll go to an ice cream seller. What does
say
that
it
mean?
Again?
We're going to get some food from this street vendor, and then we're going to go to an ice cream seller.
You're going to get some food from the street vendor, then there's another vendor who sells ice cream they're going to go to.
That is correct.
That's not the way it was said. I want to be clear about this. Not the way it was said.
Was it an underground seller?
So he says, we're going to go over here. We're going to go to this place. There's an ice cream seller. That's the way he said it.
That sounds like a vendor.
And I got super excited.
I thought that meant like a wine seller.
What did I say?
What did I say? Ice cream.
You're like, oh, that's two of my favorite things.
By the way, it's 115 degrees. We're wandering around Delhi. It's hot. And he mentions that we're going to go to an ice cream cellar. Barbara, what did you think it was?
I thought you meant like a wine cellar for ice cream.
So I thought we were going to go to a cellar and eat ice cream, which a cellar is like down low. It's cool. Gavin, he was relentless about this. Like, he did not let this die the entire
time. Well, because you didn't say that outwardly. You were like, ooh. An ice cream seller. And I was like,
I was walking on.
Like, we were both walking together. I was like, why did he have that reaction? He thinks there's a seller that's just loaded with ice cream.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, and then I was like, Yeah, I think he meant a dude who sells ice cream.
Why didn't you just say vendor?
By the way, can we talk about the street vendor? Is that going to be in the documentary? Okay. We didn't get ice cream. You know what we got instead? We got a... It's called Sweet Pawn, P-A-A-N. And it's a leaf, a beetle vine leaf. And then there's some, like, liquid bark rubbed on it? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's like beetle nut liquid bark and lime.
And then a and bunch chalk. Of stuff. Like, it was just, like, all these silver canisters. There's, like, 15 of them. And he's, like, scooping one thing after another from all these different powders into it. And then he wraps that up in the leaf. And our guide, who was one of the coolest guys on the planet, he's like, so you're just supposed to put, it's about this big, Barbara. It's like a small sandwich at that point.
Okay.
He's like, you're supposed to put the whole thing in your mouth and eat it.
It was like a big piece of sushi, I would
no.
say. It wasn't like.
What kind of sushi are you eating? Like one that's half of a fish?
It was like this big, wasn't it?
I would say it was like this big.
Really big ass piece of sushi.
There you go.
Is that it?
Bigger than that.
There's no scale there. You know how big that is.
Where's the banana?
There's a plate.
What? It looks. Is it a saucer?
So or is it like a big dish?
It was like this big.
All right.
But it was those are round. It was flat.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like flat. It was like square. Like
what, were you there?
Like a package.
You're saying it was much bigger and it was
thinking
square.
About the ice cream seller.
I was disappointed about because we didn't get ice cream, got this thing. And we took a bite, and I was trying to tell Gavin, you don't have to do this. A street vendor. We agreed we weren't going to eat from street vendors. I'm living my life. I'm going to have a bite of this thing. Holy shit. It was like eating a handful of incense is what it was like. Yeah. One bite. It took me like
it was
10 minutes to chew the one bite and get it down just because of the intensity of this flavor.
It was like it had so many different flavors. It was like eating a three-course meal and then like 9 breath mints at the same time.
Oh, my God. Did you finish it?
Well, I finished my bite, and then Gavin had a bite. And then for the next... What, 2 hours? It was like the taste was constantly in my mouth.
Were you both just like...
Like, yeah, it was just like... It was like we had just eaten it for 2 hours.
And what did he say? That some people just ate 20 of those a day or something?
Oh, well, a lot of people, what they do is... it's not sweet pawn. It's just, I guess, regular pawn. And they do it with tobacco. Pawn. Gus, this is crazy. They take the same leaf. They put that same liquid bark on it, which I'm not... It's like a bark paste.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that was. Just kind of took them at face value on that. And then they put lime. Not like... Lime, citrus, like the powder they put on dead bodies.
Right.
Like that. And then they put tobacco in there, wrap that up, and you eat that. The lime lacerates your mouth and allows the tobacco to get straight in. And then there's, what's the anesthetic that's in it? Anise? I think the anise is in that too. It's something that numbs your mouth at the same time while it's doing
it. So it like what is
makes you bleed, numbs you, puts tobacco in, and then seals it up again.
Fuck, it's intense. And then the way he described it, you chew on that for about an hour, and because it's all lacerated in your mouth, and then also heals it at the same time, you just spit out this bloody mess at the end. You find a place to spit it out.
What is the purpose of that?
Because it's like chewing tobacco, basically. It's the same concept, but like fucking amped up, dude. Amped up.
Wow.
Where was this, in Delhi?
Yeah, in Delhi.
I've never heard of that. That
apparently
sounds...
is pretty addictive.
How many did you have?
Of tobacco? I didn't touch that. I was going to make
it. Even just the idea of putting lime in your mouth.
Crazy,
yeah,
right?
Makes your teeth go away.
I have a question. Did they have any delis in Delhi?
You're the worst.
But it's a legitimate question.
Whoever laughed, you're fired.
There was a hamburger place.
Because I'll open a deli in Austin called New Delhi.
I wonder if they serve beef anywhere. Like, we didn't run into beef on any menus.
We ran into it in the street.
We ran into a lot of beef on the street.
There's a lot of beef walking around.
Yeah.
That's what I learned about all the honks.
And monkeys.
Because you think...
Go on.
Dude, you would go nuts. You with the traffic laws in India... Gus, you would have lost your shit.
Oh, I lived in Puerto Rico.
But basically, the way they honk the horns, I always thought it was just like a bunch of impatient bastards.
I thought you said hunks. So I was like, what the fuck? You were going crazy with all the
honks. Hunky Indian men. But they just beep the horn for awareness. Like, every truck has blow horn written on the back.
Yeah, they want you
and
to
they
honk.
They want you to honk because it's a part of, like, awareness on the road. So if you're coming up on a car, you have to honk. And if you're, like... gonna go overtake or do anything, you honk as well.
Yep.
If you do like something ridiculously dangerous, nobody bats an eyelid. Nobody honks at all,
and nobody yells or shakes their fist or anything.
So you're
is it the
all
kind of
hear,
thing where if you're honking your horn and you get into a fender bender, you're not at fault or something like that? Is it like a weird law like
you know
that?
You know what the law is we asked about that? If you have a bigger car, you're not at fault.
What?
Yeah. If it's a smaller car or a motorcycle, they'll stop and like figure out right there whose fault it was and pay each other like some rupees there to get it fixed. But if you have a bigger car, then you just don't stop.
You just carry on going.
Yeah, keep going.
But apparently,
and that's the rule.
Apparently, it started when they.
Why does everyone just buy big cars then?
Stuff. Big cars are expensive.
The honk was originally just for like moving animals out of the way of the road, like a herd of cows would be on the road, and you just go like, mm-mm. And they just like took that forward into beeping humans who are walking around and just beeping other cars. So it's just honk, 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 and then suddenly a car comes the wrong way down the road, and every other car like has to weave around it, and nobody honks.
Like you're going down the freeway, and suddenly there's a car going the wrong way.
Yeah. And like everything is Dodge.
It's fucking crazy. And we had this thing where like once we got, we were way out in like rural India towards Pushkar. And then once we got back in towards more of the urban area, which is clearly marked, says urban area begins. There was a street yeah. sign that said that. We're just heading down the road and I can see an intersection. There's no light. It's just two roads that cross each other. And it's just traffic crossing our path, left and right, left and right, left and right. And we're just going. We're going, going, going. I'm like, are we going to slow down? It's like, nope. Just find the hole and zoop right like between cars.
It's like autonomous driverless cars,
it
right?
It was crazy, dude. And everyone there is an amazing driver. I was telling Gavin, you should learn to drive in Jaipur because you'll be the greatest driver
ever. And the pedestrians are equally good. Like a bike will be hauling at like 30 miles an hour through a crowd of people and they barely bat an eyelid. They just go like, they just like do little weave moves with their bodies and they never get hit.
Yeah.
You don't see them get hit, right? It's like they have to be really good at it.
Yeah,
like our guy got clipped by a rearview mirror of a car when we were in doubt. Didn't bat an eyelash. Just like little clip, no big deal. Didn't even react to it. Just like kept walking. I was like, holy shit! Gavin and I, meanwhile, are like jumping out of the way of everything like a bunch of amateurs.
Yeah, I was like freaking out just looking out the window of the car that we were in. I couldn't.
Do you think you were gonna die?
Yeah, I just came to terms with it.
It's going to sound, from the way we're describing this, that we did not like India. We fucking loved
India. It was one of my favorite trips.
It was ever. Amazing. It was really amazing. I've never been anywhere like that before. I hope that when I went on the Amazing Race, I hoped I would go to either India or China. And we went to China, but we went to like a very, like a tech center in China, in Shenzhen.
Yeah.
Going to India was, I was so friggin' happy. And we did some really cool stuff. That'll be in the documentary, but Gavin and I absolutely loved India.
So since you couldn't do it in the race, this is your makeup for it?
Yeah. Well, I think I've said in the podcast a bunch that I've always wanted to go to India. I gotta get a flag for India.
I'm excited to see if you guys found Baba or not.
You gotta see. We're going all the way to Pushkar. We had to try to figure out like where the shop was based on the other videos. So, and like we knew it was in Pushkar. There was somebody in one of the videos who showed his business card. So, but we don't know how to read up Indian address.
It didn't have numbers or anything.
Yeah.
So
we had to like wander around this like city and try to say, do you know this guy? Like pointing at the pictures and stuff like that. So.
Was the plan for both of you to get the head massage or just one of you?
Well, that was always the plan. Can you imagine that debate?
Who the hell?
Like, one person.
We only have enough money for one.
For one.
When the others go to the moon.
Turns out it's like $100,000 for one head massage.
It's like our cake budget.
I did have a funny thing. I don't have it out here, but I bought on the last day, I bought a leather messenger bag. I was so fucking happy.
Oh, yeah, you brought it to the stream.
Yeah, it was like...
Well, our guide was like, make sure you check the stitching.
Yeah, it's in the office, yeah.
Make sure you check the stitching because, you know, some of them aren't put together right
well. And then I asked, I go, this seller, is he a good seller? Not basement, but is he good at selling things? And he goes, oh, he's a Pushkar boy. He's lived here his whole life. He's his father's shop.
This guy's
great.
Yes,
top quality.
Camel leather smells great.
Yeah.
He's pushed so many cars.
And so I have this bag, and I think, oh, we're at the airport finally. I'm going to switch all my stuff to this bag and start using this now. Connect the strap to it. Put it on my shoulder. As soon as I put it on my shoulder, the little clasp connected to the bag snaps, and it falls to the ground with my laptop in it. And I was like, oh, man. Gavin just starts laughing. And then our guide, who told us, oh, he's a Pushkar boy, it's a great shop, he walks up and I go, Sirab, look, I go, this broke right away. And he goes, well, that was quick.
And then he's like, yes, you know, wear and tear. And you're like, yeah, I wore it and it tore immediately.
It like instantly broke. But the bag was like, you got to see this thing. It's crazy. It was like $18 equivalent. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just nuts. It was a really cool place.
Is it salvageable?
You know, I think it is, but the problem is if I go get the little hasp fixed, it's going to cost like 8 times what I paid for the bag probably to get that done in the U.S. Because while I don't think we should have to scroll down to get to our country, I will acknowledge that our vendors...
Why should the U.S. be at the top of the drop-down list?
I'm just saying, I recognize that.
Shouldn't it be your location puts your country at the top of the list and not just the U.S. at the top of the list?
Nah.
No.
Why the U.S.?
Because what if there's an American traveling overseas?
Because we invented the internet. That's right. I said it. That's right. I said it out loud. We invented the internet. Everyone knows everybody else.
It broke in her hands.
It's a broken
she
head?
Was just holding it and it broke.
No. I had to do the strap in a weird way.
Okay.
How did it fall out? Is it not lasped? Lasped. Is it lasped?
Didn't you say hasped earlier?
I don't know. So look at this. It's a gorgeous piece of material.
That's a nice
$18 for a leather messenger bag. It's made out of camel hide.
Okay.
I don't think I'm buying a cow leather.
I just had a realization about
it. No, it wasn't doing that in Pushkar. Trust me.
Which part broke then?
So this right here, Barb. So you can see on this side, there is a little triangle that the strap connects to.
Uh-huh.
You will notice it's missing on this side. There is no triangle.
Just hot glue one on there.
This little piece of leather snapped immediately.
Just hot glue and staple it.
Immediately it snapped.
You were wearing it for about 45 seconds, I think.
There you are.
Thank you.
That's $18. What do you expect?
$18 per minute.
Good.
Dude, the whole plane smelled like that thing by the time we got off.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Probably some chemical that's not allowed to be used in the U.S., by the way.
Yeah, I got something else to read here.
Do it then.
I want to remind everyone, this episode of Rooster Teeth Podcast is also brought to you by Squarespace. With Squarespace, sites look professionally designed regardless of your skill level. There's no coding required. They offer intuitive, easy-to-use tools to help you along the way, and you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com/roosterteeth. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use offer code roosterteeth. Get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful. These are new clothes. Don't get them dirty.
I fixed them.
Where'd you get new clothes from?
Thanks to Squarespace for sponsoring the podcast.
Great.
Go buy a website and make a website. It's easy.
It's perfect.
Squarespace.
And if your website has anything to do with fixing leather bags, send me your URL.
Bernie's leatherbag.com.
I'm very tired, very jet lagged.
Are you still up at night?
I'm kind of all over the place. Actually, over this last day, this last 24-hour period, I slept a bunch, which has kind of thrown me off. Like I think I slept like 14 hours.
Yeah, the day of the live stream we did the other day, I think I woke up at 1 p.m. Because I've been up all night and I didn't fall asleep till like 7 a.m.
So,
nightmare.
Yeah. URL. Not URL.
URL.
I'm really very tired though. And I was like, I was going to take a half an hour nap before the podcast. I was all set. Sure enough, somebody knocks on my door and wants to like
just
touch base. They want to like, we had to go over some stuff. It was Will. And he could tell. He was like, I'm going to leave you alone. I was like, nope, talk to me. He's like, damn it. It's like he could tell like I was not like in a mood to talk.
And now you're calling him out on the podcast.
Yeah. Will knows I love him. Will's great.
For some reason, I couldn't sleep last night either. I think I woke up like at 4 in the morning and just that was it. I slept for a couple of hours up until that, and then I've been up since like 4.
Because of England travel?
No.
Or just random?
Just random. It was like, okay, my body was like, that's enough. You slept for 2 hours.
You upset about Game of Thrones?
Maybe.
Did you?
Are you?
No.
Gus is worried that it's gonna take the series in a whole new direction.
We had a discussion about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. It's the best season yet, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah. There's been so much that has happened, and it's only been, 5 episodes?
So much that has happened.
So much that has happened.
Have you heard of this YouTube show called...
No. What has happened on that
show? I think it's called, like, Sitting and Smiling.
Oh, that's fucking weird, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the guy who sits cross-legged and smiles at his camera.
But he does it for, like, 4 hours straight.
Could you do that?
No, I couldn't do it for 4 hours. But he's done, like, 130 of them.
There's a trick there.
Did you see the one where the guy broke into his house?
Oh, no. What?
You didn't see that one?
No.
Someone opens his door, sees him sitting there, and closes it.
And it was a burglar?
He said no one lives with him.
Ooh. And he was committed to the video, so
yeah,
he didn't get up?
Yeah, he staring at the camera and didn't do anything.
But I think, like, some people do funny stuff, like weird stuff online. And,
yeah.
Like, make a thing out of it. They keep doing it. Like, you know, crushing stuff in a press or, like, putting a metal ball on it and melting it. That's just weird. Like, too weird, though.
That's a bit
like,
weird.
Like, someone who can sit in silence...
You're
doing
kidding.
Nothing
I'm
for 4 hours?
Watching it.
Yeah. He just sits there, smiling, and I think he's like, is that normal? Like, can a normal person do that?
If he wasn't smiling,
no.
I would swear this is like a hostage video.
Yeah. But the fact that he's smiling means it's
right.
Not.
Right, he's smiling. He's okay.
What do you think is involved?
I just couldn't do one of those, and he's done so many. Like, I think collectively, he's been sitting and smiling for over a month. Solid month.
Of his life. Just sitting and
the
staring
lighting
and smiling.
Changes.
Yeah.
Like, he sits there for so long. The lighting's different at the beginning of the video than the end of the video.
That's how you know it's legitimate.
I was just so disturbed by it. Like, I think it's funny and, like, the commitment's cool. But also, like, what kind of person do you have to be able to do that?
I had a beginning? Really funny moment when we were in India.
And it's like the sun has
so
moved.
Slightly lower. Yeah.
You should look up the one where the guy comes into his house.
I had that exact same moment when we were in India because I set up a camera to, like, zero in on the spot where Joe likes to spend his day usually. And so I just zoomed in on that with a camera, and then I could access it from India so we could say hi to Joe and stuff
and
like that.
And watch John Reisinger take care of your house.
Oh, watch John Reisinger destroying my fucking house. I'll get to that in a second. So at one point, it had been like 12 hours since I had looked at Joe, and I brought it up, and it was like Joe sitting there in the window in the background. It's like the sunlight coming in. He's laying in the sunbeam. I was like, oh, that's cute. I didn't realize that was the old image and it hadn't refreshed yet. It instantly refreshes and the window just goes dark for nighttime and Joe has not moved a fucking inch. It's been like a full day and he's just in the exact same spot in the exact same position.
It's like that shot in Shaun of the Dead where he like passes out in the kitchen at night and it just goes and all the lights are on because time has passed.
What is the purpose of a cat? What is that? What is that?
You have one.
23 hours a day, they're fucking
asleep.
What's
the purpose of any animal?
I saw, okay. Let me find it. I'm gonna send it to the control room. I saw the best crowdfunding thing ever for cat owners. I'm gonna buy one of these for you, Bernie.
Oh, good.
What's it called?
It's called Get a Fucking Job, Cat.
What do you want a cat to do?
Just anything. It's like, does a cat really just exist to eat so that it can sleep for another fucking day?
Yeah,
that's what it does.
What do you think a lion would do if it didn't have to hunt? It would just eat, shag, and sleep.
Yeah, no, they just sleep. That's it. They're not like...
But sleeping's great.
Go explore. Go kill a mouse or something. Have fun.
Go kill a mouse.
You don't have a job. I mean, what does a dog do? Dog does stuff.
Yeah, but dog does pointless stuff, like catching a ball.
Dog's a pain in the
dog
ass.
Dog does stuff.
So, they're pulling up the thing.
What dog do? I saw this.
Licky brush.
God, I love crowdfunding.
What the fuck?
How the hell were we the How were we the Kickstarter of the day yesterday when this exists?
It's just a brush
it's
you put in your mouth.
It's a brush that you hold with your teeth.
Why, though?
$12,275, that's why.
Here's why, because people are fucking mental.
What's the goal, though?
Look at this. To lick your cat,
look
now
at
you
that.
Can.
The goal is $36,500.
But, like, why don't you just hold a brush and pet your cat? Why do you have to pretend to be licking it?
Also, it seems like it would hurt your teeth.
You know, there's a little old lady in Ohio, too, who saw that video, and she's like, finally. Or they took my idea. They stole it. I should have made it. So while we're talking about crazy Kickstarters, let's talk about our crazy Kickstarter. As of right now, and this will change depending on when you listen to this podcast, we're on our way to 22,000 backers, and we have $952,000
wow.
for $1 million butt. So I'm pretty sure we're going to hit $1 million on the $1 million butt. Card game. That's awesome.
$1 million.
I just love that almost 22,000 people are going to get this deck.
I think that's more people than people who lived in the town I grew up in.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the good news about that is that, you know, basically it's like we just have this set up. I mean, people have figured out that it's basically like a way for us to set up pre-orders for this thing and like get this out to other places.
Yeah.
And to me, the crazy part about it is that, you know, we don't have a lot of like extra perks like we did with Laser Team. So we actually have more backers for this than we have for Laser Team. We have more people that are on board with the $1 million butt card game at this point in time. We ended up with about 32,000 at the end of the campaign for Laser Team. And I mean, it all depends on how you track it. But right now we're tracking towards about like 38 or 40 for this. So it's awesome. And it could pick up like crazy at the end. So
it's a fun game. Like, I had a lot of fun playing it on the stream the other day, especially when Nick and Avery came over. That game is all about just like the discussion. It's all about like making it like the show. And but you can have like a card presented and then you can have like a 15-minute conversation.
We had a round
like,
I think that took almost an hour.
Yeah, and then it's like oh god, the game.
Yeah.
It was right near so the end of the fun. Stream, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like right at the end of the stream when it might have been before that cuz I left when Nick and Avery got here just because I didn't want too many people. At one time. Yeah, but there was one point when I was playing and I was like, this is great. Because it's like, I think we've gone almost like 50 minutes on this one
round.
And
then after we get through all of them, the person typically does a recap and that just spurs it on again. It's like, oh, but wait, what if... And then we end up like back on it. I love it.
Yeah, the tough part about it is the strategy of, like, you want to make yours seem really impossible and amp it up, but at the same time, don't give away that it's yours. So you're like, you end up, like, amping up other people's, but hopefully not too much. But then, like, the person whose it is, like, you can tell they figure it out. They're like, oh, or, you know, it's way worse if this happens, you know. And this is the rules for it.
I end up just forgetting which one's mine. And just wanted, and wanted to talk about all of them and, like, too. Really get into it. Be like, oh, yeah, like, I don't even really remember. Just, like, genuinely arguing about the about the situations and not just trying to make my
own. I wonder if people could film their own games and then, like, act out the scenarios and, like, make their own episodes of $1 million. But
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what people come up with.
Well, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like we took the show and we took the game from the show and then tried to find a way to be like, spur that game and have people have that same
experience.
I'm
sure if you gave like four different groups the same scenarios, the discussions would be completely different on all four groups. Like, you'd have some overlap, but each like $1 million butt video that would have come out of it would be totally different. And that's what's cool about it.
I also wonder, like, the different permutations, like, not even giving everyone the same scenario, but giving everyone the same cards to pick their scenarios from, just, like, even watching, like, the permutations that would come out from that.
I think we should have a rule, too, like, sometimes you'll get, like, a combination that's fucking impossible. Like, your life, you just couldn't work, you know? Sometimes you get, like, a solid hand where it's like, all right, I'm gonna win this round just because it's gonna be, like, every second of your life is gonna be a misery.
When the trigger is, like, all the time and the scenario is, like, the worst thing ever.
Or when the rule, like, recreates the trigger.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And you end up in this, like,
oh, like the anxiety and SWAT team one?
Yeah, it was an anxiety and SWAT team, right.
You
just
end up in a loop of hate.
Every time you have anxiety, a SWAT team comes and takes you away.
Extracts you, so then you would get nervous about the SWAT team, and then another SWAT team shows up.
And steals you from that SWAT team.
Right, and then you're like, oh.
During the live stream, I had one that was, every time you wash your hands, you shit your pants.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's like one of those that's like, oh, you're just constantly
shitting.
You're not escaping that.
So here's a question I would ask you. People that go to the restroom here and they leave without washing their hands. What are those people?
Scum.
Awful.
Just worst, right? You hate that.
Worst.
Couldn't imagine anything worse than that. All right. Gus, you're in rural India and you use the restroom.
Okay.
And you turn around and it's a faucet in the wall that you know is completely untreated water.
And probably covered in people's shit hands.
Well, just if it's, you're going to wash in the water anyway, so, you know. Do you wash your hands? Is it better to wash your hands?
Man.
Or is it better to, like, walk away with your whatever your penis germs are that you have? I don't want to.
I'd say walk away.
Penis germs are probably safer.
I think you're right.
I think I'm right.
Guessing, I'm going to guess that your penis doesn't have any parasites. I don't want to make any assumptions.
But when I'm in a public.
My dick is clean, as I proclaimed on the live stream before.
When I'm in a
public
toilet.
So you understand, sir, there, walk away, you're better off.
Are you washing your hands because of your dick germs? Like, whenever I'm in a public bathroom, I'm washing my hands because I've touched, like, public bathroom handle, you know.
So do you wash your hands at home?
Yeah, but that's just, you know, I feel like it's just being safe. But I'm not scared of my own penile germs.
You're just scared of the
germs in
your hands?
I'm not either. To me, it's not a complete deal breaker, but I still wash my hands whenever I have the opportunity to wash my hands. Like, I was washing my hands in, like, bathroom sinks in India, like public bathrooms and stuff like that. Also, it was, the bathroom situation was way, over-exaggerated.
What do you mean?
You know, the hole in the ground? Like, everywhere you go, there's a hole in the ground. It's like, that's not even the case. There was options everywhere we went. We could have a Western toilet, or, you know what they call the hole in the ground, Gus? What do you call it? This is a Western toilet.
Traditional.
Natural toilet.
French toilet. Oh. That's the French version, apparently.
Dirty French.
That's also
weird to me.
Outdoor
Which
urinals.
Which is also, by the way, Western country, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were urinals just outside on the street.
Gab was fascinated by
pee
that.
Whenever they want to.
Yeah, you just, like, turn around away from the street and just piss down a little
Which,
trench.
That is just accepting reality and then giving people a place to go.
I mean, there's a lot of people in India.
This will be in the documentary, I'm pretty sure, but I dropped my backpack into a
oh no
riverlet on the running down the side of a building.
You basically down every side of the road was just like this slow-moving, like, slightly scummy, foamy, gray water that would just, like, slowly trickle down. There'd be, like, dirt
How are you
and
not
trash.
Constantly gagging there?
I had to get. I think it smelled bad, a lot of it. And then you dropped your bag in it.
I did.
Your backpack?
Well, yeah, we were, like, having a chat sitting down in my backpack. You can see in the shot, it kind of drifts and, like, goes thunk. And I was like, I picked it up and it was like, ugh.
And then spilled your drink.
And I looked at Gavin like this.
I hope you made that noise too.
Yeah, I was. Well, I was pretty worried about that. So anyway, that backpack I burned. So that's why.
That's why you got a new bag.
That's why I got a new bag.
Did you actually get rid of it?
No. Yeah, I'm like, germs die.
Either you die or they die. It's like 50-50.
Well, I mean, like a day later.
Listen, you got to build up your immune system.
So if someone, if someone took a shit,
go ahead
here, and then it was untouched 50 years later, and you came in, would you pick it up?
Sure. 50 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah. For what? Like for money or just to get poop out of the way?
It would be completely like all the moisture would be gone from it. It'd be hardened.
So it's safe.
Yeah.
All right. 50 years later. I don't even know the poop would still be there. Be like a little pebble.
What would happen to it?
Be all dried up.
Decay.
Like, yeah. Dried up.
I mean, there's still like some stuff that wouldn't rot. Nobody ever rots into nothingness.
Well, does your poop have bones in it? Do you have poop bones? Yes.
Well, how else does your poop stay together?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how we got on this conversation.
Shit bones every time you
poop
shit.
Poop had a rib cage.
Gross. But I will say this. Hats off to Ashley. I would the lowest moment in my life would be the moment I threw up in an airplane bathroom. Oh. That's just awful. She didn't even wake us up. Like, I knew she was feeling bad, and I was like up a little bit, but she when she went and threw up in the bathroom, she didn't wake anybody up.
Ugh. Were you coming out both ends? Yeah.
She's not. It was a rough plane flight.
That's bad.
Worse
on plane.
Than a bum wee.
Mm-hmm.
A bum wee.
There was so I have I'm always fascinated. I feel like there's always tons of really strange stories that come out of China.
Yeah.
I mean, just like India, tons of people, and it's just like
it's 1/6 the population.
Right. It's a country that's like in transition.
If we ever have a mutant, one of them is the first mutant is going to be either Indian or Chinese. Right. Like 1/3 chance.
Yeah.
1/3.
A third of the world.
Right.
There's
already mutants.
There was a.
Nah. Remember the kid who I could see in the dark.
There was a story that came out about a month ago.
He's a mutant.
About I am.
No wisdom teeth.
And also sweaty palms. And there was a Chinese businessman who was visiting a nature reserve, and a monkey killed him.
What?
By shoving a rock off of a cliff.
Really?
What, like threw a rock at him?
They don't know if the monkey was doing it on purpose, trying to hurt him, or if it was just a freak accident. But this guy is like posing, taking photos in a nature reserve. Monkey above him on a cliff just shoves a rock over onto him.
Oh, it's monkey murder.
Monkey murder.
Wow. Because
that's like
I
the perfect
the monkey
crime.
Knew what it was doing, but just had no sense of morality at all.
Imagine if you could train a monkey to kill someone.
Did it think it was killing
him?
I'm sure
you could train dogs to kill.
I think it knew it was pushing a rock onto a person. Like, I
bet there was a dude up there and he would just point it at the monkey after he murdered someone.
The monkey there's a monkey right here.
And the monkey's just like,
anybody?
What? Or it's just a guy in a monkey costume.
It's like, here, monkey, hold this gun. Monkey did it.
That's so.
Has
that's
anyone
so
ever been shot by an animal?
So they pieced that together later.
They said they saw people.
The
people who were there saw the monkey push the rock.
Fucking A. That's crazy.
There's got to be a monkey that shot someone, right?
Yeah, there's dogs that have shot people.
Probably just like
dogs have shot people.
Thing holding a gun and it just goes off.
How does
babies shoot people?
Well, babies have fingers.
Toddlers shoot a lot of people.
The babies are weak.
Toddlers are a fucking
babies
menace.
Are weak.
Babies are weak.
Hey, so I read a story, like reconstructing a terrible accident, like a monkey killing you with a rock. I read a really interesting story about Mike Wallace, the famous news reporter in the U.S. Do you know the story I'm talking about?
I think so.
His son went hiking in Greece and disappeared. And so, and this is in 1962. And so Mike Wallace, the reporter, like, wanted to know what happened to his son. So he went over there, went to Greece, went to the place where the hiking trails are, followed the trail and investigated, like literally like tried to find the kid, like asking around, found out he went hiking, went the trail and found his son, his son's body dead.
Dead. Oh,
like,
shit.
That's crazy. Like he found his dead son in the world. That's nuts.
And it was no one else had found him?
No one else had found him. No one else had found him. Mike Wallace went over there and found him.
Oh, that'd be like the kind of thing where you're hoping to find him, but also not.
Yeah.
I guess you want closure.
Yeah, you
want
to find out what happened.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm. There was a, not a related story, but another China story that I read earlier today, where the Chinese ambassador to Zambia had to publicly come out and say that imported Chinese meat to Zambia was not human flesh.
Oh my God, really?
I guess there was a rumor started in the country that China was exporting human flesh in cans to people, to the supermarkets there. How awful must that press conference be where you have to get up in front of people and be like, listen, we know the meat's bad. It's not people.
It's not people bad.
But would people be bad meat? We had this discussion a long time ago on the podcast. You were.
I would eat a person. I would eat people.
So we were trying to figure out what was the morally unimplicated meat that you could eat from a person. And I don't know why we never thought about this. A placenta. Would you eat placenta? Because that's human.
No. I want like a human steak. I don't want fucking placenta. I wouldn't eat a cow placenta.
You want like butt or thigh, right?
I think thigh.
Butt or thigh.
Thigh.
Not on meat.
You said butt or thigh.
But I'm not edible.
We also learned that in America, you can't sell dog meat, but you can eat it.
You can't sell in a store, can't sell cat or a restaurant, cat or dog meat.
But I guess
you can
eat cat breed your own dogs and eat them. But surely that's just cruelty.
You can't be a seller?
Like, you can't kill your dog. It's against the law to murder a pet, right?
I kill my dog. I'm tough. You don't know. Get in a fight with a dog? No, yeah, I don't think you could do it. I don't think you could kill your dog and get away with it. You somehow have to come across like a dead dog and just eat that. So...
dog meat.
I would try dog. I wouldn't try human ever. That's like,
because you're afraid you'll like it.
No, it's just blah.
Doesn't it?
What's wrong? What's blah?
It just seems
like people mental. Like human meat turns you nuts.
Does it? Or is that just propaganda? I think it's propaganda.
Isn't that cannibalism does that in like a lot of species?
I think it's propaganda.
Really?
I think it just makes you want to kill people to eat them.
But it's hormones you're eating as well, like human hormones.
I heard a story from someone recently, I don't know if this is true or not, and I pray to God it's not true, but there's a story of this girl who met a guy at a bar, and they started flirting and really hit it off, and then they started making out, and the next day, she was getting these, like, pains in her mouth and started feeling nauseous and was getting these sores in her lips, and she had gone to the hospital, and they did some tests on her, and they said, we don't know how this is possible, but whatever you have... you contracted it from someone who the only way they could have it is if they just ate human. So basically the guy who she had made out with, they found out later that he had been killing people and eating them in his home and that she had just made out with him like probably a couple hours after he finished eating human flesh.
That's a gross story. Snopes. There's a lot of people listening to this podcast right now who are like, how come the guy who's a fucking cannibal is getting action in a bar? I'm working my fucking ass off.
All
I
women?
Work at Kinko's all week long. I go to the fucking bar. Nobody's making out with me. And then she's over in the corner making out with a fucking cannibal.
Well, I mean, the person he'd eaten was probably the girl from the previous night.
Yeah, they were all girls that he was eating.
Snopes classifies that as legend or whatever, for whatever that matters.
Okay. Fucking legend. That's how that works in my brain. They love that story more than any other story they've ever told. I think the Mike Wallace thing, I'm looking at his Wikipedia entry and now I don't see it there. That was on Today I Learned.
I read it on another, like on an actual news website a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So I do believe that one is true.
Gotcha.
Last China story of the night for me, and I'm done. In China, they have banned the erotic eating of bananas on live streams.
What, like sucking off a banana?
I thought it was just in general, not just live streams.
Oh, what I read was live streams.
Okay.
And also you cannot be wearing suspenders or...
What? That's a specific rule.
Stockings.
Why?
On live streams too or just in general?
Yeah, the paper adds that wearing stockings and suspenders while hosting a live stream is now also forbidden.
So it's against the law.
Yeah.
That's like Chinese law is like biblical law. Like, do you ever read like Deuteronomy? And there's rules like you can't go to church if you have crushed testicles. I know it's true. I know they put that in there to like to focus on one dude, right? That's written for one guy in town. It's like that guy has crushed testicles. Let's write a rule: he can't come to church. Fuck that guy. Like, and it just lived for like thousands of years.
Crushed. Yeah, now you just like accept.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
like. Split
I'll look up the actual verse.
There's a lot of weird ones too. Like if you spent your seed or. You can't go to church or weird ones like that.
You mean if you've jizzed?
Yeah, if you've jizzed, spent like in the last seed. Day, in that day. Huh. Or maybe it was spilled. I don't know.
Spilled your seed.
I don't know. There's so many. Like so many.
Deuteronomy 23:1. No one who has been emasculated by crushing of the testicles may enter the assembly of the Lord. There you go.
23:1.
So that'll dissuade you from smashing your balls with a rock. So you won't be able to go to church on Sunday if you do that.
Why did...
I know. It's a very specific clause in the Bible.
There's lots of it. So like there's also like whole sections about women's periods. I don't know if you've ever heard any of these where it's like, so this is Leviticus 15.
Thanks for cutting me, by the way, on that.
Whenever a woman has her menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. Anyone who touches her during that time will be unclean until evening.
Until evening?
Just until dinner. That's when the germs die.
So we actually ran it. Are you looking up something there?
Yeah, I'm looking up something different there.
You looking up the picture you took?
No. What picture?
You took a picture that said the same thing, that there was a holy lake and women in their cycle were not allowed anywhere near it. Like, stay away.
No, it's probably for everyone's safety.
I love
specific rules. Like, one of the rules in the sign, it was like, you know, don't drink, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. And one of them was, beware of people who may try and take your attention by kicking dirt and rubbish at you.
And rubbish?
Yeah.
Like, that's such a weird rule. So like, who are they specific. Talking about?
People I think specific rules make me laugh, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Deuteronomy one. It's crazy. I also love we were driving down the road, and there was a toll. And it said, here's how you might be eligible to not pay the toll. You might have this.
And it was like the small print in a contract put onto a sign.
Right.
There was like 13 different items.
It was like a 14-foot sign.
Yeah.
It was huge. And one of the reasons why you might not have to pay the toll, Gus, is you might be the president of India.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good that it's on the sign.
Could they just tell him, like, hey, you don't have to pay any tolls? They put it on like 50 signs. Was it president or prime minister?
It's both.
So it's two different lines.
Maybe that's what's funny about it.
Is there a
business.
Sign where the president doesn't have to, but the prime minister does? He's like, oh, fuck.
I knew I should have taken the other road. But that's actually in the drop down.
And it's your second toll you have to switch. It's all these rules.
On some websites, like I think like American Airlines or one of the airlines, you select your prefix, Mr. or whatever, and it's really long, like doctor and all the other ones, and president is on there.
Do you
what if
it?
You just put that on your... Travel
but why have that in the drop down as something that literally one person can use?
I'm looking
like eight
up,
people.
Hold on, I'm looking up a drop down.
Eight living former
presidents.
Once.
Well, there's presidents in different countries.
Eight.
Well, there's other countries that have presidents.
There's more than eight countries
that have presidents.
Yeah.
Not every country has a president. Does UK have a president?
Prime minister.
That's not a president.
But how many presidents are there? You said eight.
I just said eight as a number.
But why would you say eight?
I was booking a hotel.
Because it's a number.
Very specific.
I was booking a hotel in San Diego once, and this was the drop down.
Wow.
What is it?
Admiral, Sergeant.
I'll read some of them. It's First Lieutenant, Ensign, Lieutenant Colonel, Captain, President, Professor, Reverend, General, Mr., Sir, Second Lieutenant, Commander, Doctor, Miss, Master, Mrs. with a period, Miss, Admiral, Doctor and Doctor, Chief Warrant Officer, Lord,
Admiral
Sergeant,
Ray,
Doctor,
Miss, Major, Doctor and Mrs., Doctor and Mr., Doctor, Mr. and Mrs., Miss, Mr., Colonel, and Lieutenant. It's on the fucking hotel website.
Wow.
Yeah, why didn't you just put Mr. Obama? Like, they'd still let him in.
Could you, like, book your stay with one of those?
I booked myself as Doctor and Doctor. I was like, sure, why not?
Doctor and Doctor.
Like, if I put, like, President Barbara Dunkelman, are they going to question me when I get there?
Probably an alarm goes off, and they're like, get the nice sheets. Oh, it's just some woman being funny.
Yeah, it wasn't Barack
Obama. I don't recognize this president's name.
President Dunkelman.
Dunkelman.
But no need. And it's like, there's no sense.
When is that from?
There's no sense to this organization either. It's not alphabetized.
No, because Colonel and Captain are like the whole list.
It's like,
apart.
How do you find anything?
I don't know.
When did you post this?
This was forever ago. This must have been like 8 years ago or something at Comic-Con.
Did you see the video that made the rounds of augmented reality? Like, we'll talk about something else. I'll send it to Patrick so we can see it.
Okay.
But we, did you guys, this is fascinating to me, but it doesn't seem to be fascinating to anybody else, is that Prank versus Prank. Very popular channel, very popular couple that are YouTube creators. They broke up.
And, oh, did they?
Well, they're taking a break. I shouldn't say they broke up. They made a video where they're taking a break from
is this a prank?
One another, and they're taking a break from vlogging.
Yeah, maybe like, it's a prank.
I mean, I'm sure they've heard that 20,000 fucking times, but they seemed very, very genuine about the whole thing.
I feel like daily vlogging will ruin anyone.
They said that.
And pranking each other
that
for
was
a
the
pranking
channel?
Was... They didn't do that all the time. They would literally vlog every day. And I think that could be so damaging. Like, even if you did it alone, it's no privacy.
It's
I would never want to do
like
that.
Constantly needing your camera around whenever you do anything. That's
and like you're not really living your own life anymore. You're making, you're like, every single decision you make would be thinking of the audience. Like, oh, yeah, I'll use that. Oh, I'll cut that. I'll put that in. It's like, but you, then you're just making a video your whole life.
Yeah.
Unless you could actually turn it on and off between like certain hours.
Patrick, I'm sending you this video now.
I would never want to do that. Mm-hmm. Would you ever be a vlogger?
I think PewDiePie said he did it for a month and it drove him insane.
Who did?
Pewds.
PewDiePie.
I feel like even like doing the podcast, I'll do certain things throughout the week to put myself in a weird situation.
Just to have a story.
Just to see what happens, just to, you know, have a story to tell. I can't imagine having to do that like on a daily basis or really have to film it and create content that way.
Yeah, sounds awful.
So it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, and they said that they were like living their life for the, like, people should go watch it because it's fascinating. And they were upset. They knew that like this video would get more views than all of their other videos they've made for like the last year. And it's just like the notion that people would show up to essentially rubberneck their, you know, emotional crisis.
What do you think about them having to do that publicly like that?
Otherwise, what are they going to do? Are they just going to like go away and like not do that? You know, I mean, it's like we faced stuff like that before. I mean, Ashley and I didn't talk about being engaged, but it wasn't like a conscious decision or a not conscious decision.
Have you
decision.
Talked about that on the podcast yet?
I don't know if we did or not. I think we've...
I think you mentioned it.
Yeah, we got engaged in January. So, but yeah, it's just one of the things that's like, we don't feel like we really needed to announce it. I think it's way more important to announce when you break up. I think that's pretty important.
Because then everyone's going to assume you're still together, and when you keep living your life, they're like, whoa.
Well, what do you, yeah, what we're so-and-so. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, that's, you know... I think that's a much more important thing. So yeah, in their sense, yeah, they're known as a couple. They kind of have to do that. It's unfortunate that they have to, but I get they do. But I love stuff that's like so unbelievably real. And they were like putting themselves out there. They were putting themselves out there in such a way they said, we're not doing this anymore. But that's a very real conclusion to that whole thing. And who knows? They'll come back.
They were huge too.
Absolutely.
The channel's massive.
I shouldn't talk about the bottom in the past tense. So like they're on break right now. The problem with the internet is it doesn't matter how big you are. If you stop... Internet has a very, very, very short memory. They forget stuff right away. So that's the concern of something like this.
How many subscribers do they have?
I mean, if you stop making
9
videos,
million? I think they have more than the Rooster Teeth channel.
Yeah, almost 10 million.
You can be forgotten so fast.
Yeah.
Like a FPS Russia. He stopped for a while. I think he still makes occasional videos, but they don't get anywhere near the views he used
Kills
to get.
Kills
Because half
right?
of the people aren't there anymore. They're not like waiting for videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like they unsubscribe. They're probably just not using YouTube.
Me or using a different account at that point or something else. Yeah.
It's crazy. You got to keep it alive.
So I there's a thing, and I'm not going to go too deep into this, but I found a thing, and I showed it to you, Gus, and I showed it to you, Gav, where there was someone who... Well, you okay if we talk about this?
We mentioned this briefly in passing in the patch.
Oh, okay.
I haven't had... We said, you know, we're very high level about it. We didn't dig into it, and we mentioned that we don't have any further information about it yet.
So somebody I was looking at somebody's account who's in video games. And I saw their
Somebody's
account.
Twitter account.
What? Twitter account. Thank you.
Okay.
And I saw that they had a bunch of followers. I'm like, what the fuck? I used to have way more followers than them. And I was like, that hurt like my ego. So I like looked at their followers. And sure enough, they had like a bunch of egg accounts. And I was like, see what's going on here. So I clicked on one of the
egg. You mean like haven't changed the default picture?
Brand new. And like the username is like Billy561289421, you know? And so I looked at that account. I looked who they followed. They followed that person. They followed person B, person C, person D, person F, like this list of people, including Xbox, Sony, and something else. PlayStation, Xbox, and maybe YouTube, something like that, or Twitch as well. And then I was like, oh, and then I clicked on another account, same block of people. And then I scrolled down way down further, found another egg account, clicked on it, scrolled through that one, followed like 80 people. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the 80 people I followed, same block of people. Like literally the same block of people.
You got really into this.
Yeah, I don't know why. I felt like I was investigating this thing. And it was like, this is crazy. And it was like literally the same block of people over and over again. I probably looked at like 40 accounts, like scrolling as far as I could.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the same block of people over and over again. I don't know. I found that fascinating. And so I was asking anybody else if they found that interesting at all.
Is it just like a group of people you could buy as followers?
I'm guessing so.
Because that exists.
Yeah. Or it's the same group of people buying the same group of followers.
Right. It's
a terrible marketing
block.
Company.
It's too obvious because... Oh, yeah.
It's too obvious.
But like, you can literally see. I mean, why not? What is stopping them from using a different account per person who buys followers?
I have no idea. Or just like randomly sprinkling other people in. Like sometimes it would be like a bunch of people from music, but then there was a section that was clearly the video game section, all those same people. It was like 12 people. And it was very clear. There's no relation between those people other than the fact they constantly appeared in this block over and over and over and over again.
It's really bizarre.
It's really bizarre.
If there was a way to sort...
It's a marketing company, I'm sure, and they are doing a shitty job for their clients. Yeah, being that obvious about it.
Yeah, that's really weird. You could probably sort...
Which I don't care about.
A Twitter account based on like those parameters, like which Twitter accounts are followed by all of these accounts. And it would just... You could see all of the people who are involved.
Oh.
I actually witnessed someone who bought Twitter followers.
How does that even work?
There was a girl who I knew from high school, and I went onto her Twitter account, and she had maybe like 400 followers or so. And then I went back to her account 2 days later, and she had 3,700.
Whoa.
And it wasn't like a new account where all of a sudden she's gaining followers like that. Hmm. It was like a four-year-old account.
There's value in that. Like, we've all, I think, gotten jobs or opportunities because of that. I mean, I hate to admit that. But that number does actually have a value to it.
But so does engagement, though, and you can't fake that.
I agree with that completely. I'm always amazed when I look at like the number of like likes or retweets I have, and then I see like somebody who has many times the followers I do, and they have a fraction of the likes and all that stuff.
So I'm told that your video's ready.
It is? Let me say something first, though, real quick, because I've just checked the email. Teddy, stop buying Overwatch loot boxes, dude. I can see it. Stop. Stop.
How many?
24. Stop.
How much is that?
He should have just bought 50.
$21.64 so far. I'm watching you. Stop.
Does he watch the
right
podcast?
Right now. I'm not kidding. No, he's too busy. It's coming out of your allowance. God damn it.
All right.
I love you. All right. So this is an AR video. This is like, I thought the best thing this guy visualized what an AR world would be like. So this is someone who has... Hey, we all talk about VR, and this guy was showing how AR, and I believe this, will actually be the technology that people walk around with all the time, where it just takes our world and mixes realities together.
Right, just it's additive information instead of replacement information.
Which you know will just be over the top, like, it'll be constantly in your face.
It's like, like they're right there showing the texts. Like, if you're already looking down at your phone for text all the time anyway, what if it was just overlaid transparently in front of you?
I mean, this is what HoloLens is, really.
Yeah. No, the HoloLens is AR.
As opposed to the Vive or Oculus.
Mm-hmm. But if you look, too, at, like, the top right, there's, like, system updates and all that other stuff just being ignored, you know, amongst all this other garbage. And then in a minute, she, like, leaves and goes for a walk. I think it'll be really cool. You know, I think AR will be way more practical than virtual reality, but I think it'll be just the potential for abuse and just like altering the world in terrible ways. It's just like the potential's too high. You got to see this here. Like, this is like the navigation stuff. This is actually really cool. Like, she has a destination, so it shows her like how to get to her destination, and she's getting like loyalty points as she goes along.
God,
Jesus.
So yeah, her going out on the city streets really cool.
If this was standard, and everyone had this. And you could be paid an amount per day to have ads all over your life. Would you do it?
I think some people would. I mean, that's what these loyalty points are.
You know what I would pay for? A little sign over people's heads that told me their name.
Oh.
That's in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like, because you meet a lot of people all the time. Right. But you're like, oh, nice to see you again. You're like,
Let me ask you this, though. Would you enable it so anyone can see your name? Nobody would enable that.
So it's like...
I would.
I think about like social media, right? It's like you can make it available to everyone or to friends or to friends of friends. So maybe enable it for friends of friends.
I would do it for everyone. I don't care. It's just my first name.
I could see that. I could see doing that.
What are these loot boxes? Teddy, stop buying loot boxes. He bought another 10.
I told you he should have just bought 50.
Stop it, Teddy. Stop it.
Right. Something I forgot to mention earlier in the podcast is if you're watching this podcast on YouTube, we originally stream it live Monday evenings on our website. So if you just click on the link below, you can get a 30-day free trial and check it out for yourself and watch it before it even ends up on YouTube. Down there, 30 days free.
I actually like watching it live. Whenever I'm not on it,
I'll
watch it later. But sometimes, like if I'm in England and I'm jet lagged and I can't sleep and I'm up at 1:30 in the morning, it's always fun to watch it live.
It's always interesting to me when I'm not here. And it's always on my phone for some reason that I end up watching it live. Yeah, it's normally, I guess, because I'm traveling. It's like I'll pull it up and see, like,
I don't know if it's weird
John
because
Reisinger in my chair.
It's weird because I'm usually on it, or whether it's just like fun to watch something live. Mm-hmm. But usually I'm like, oh, this could be me right now.
I sometimes like when you don't ask me to be on it because I was like, oh, I get to watch it now.
I had that with the Extra Life stream once because we usually do it for 24 hours or something, and you know you don't want to be on the whole thing. So I was like, I think I just hung out like all of Saturday. I was watching it on and off, and I was like, I guess I'll go be on it now. And I watched it. I watched it in the cab to it. And I got up to it and I was like, I can put this away. Hey! I didn't miss,
don't miss anything.
It's really pretty cool. Yeah.
There's
so it's a really odd feeling.
I think I may be a cynical asshole.
What?
tell me if I'm correct.
Okay.
So there was this very popular video a couple days ago of this woman wearing this Chewbacca mask.
Yes.
Yeah.
Total marketing, right? I do not believe that was a genuine video.
I think it was so real.
I think it was totally real.
I think it was very real.
I think it was just,
I don't know what the video
marketing
was.
To, you to don't know that stupid Chewbacca mask.
How did you miss that video?
The Chewbacca, I don't know.
It got like 180 million views.
And now like the mask is sold out everywhere.
Is it really?
I totally missed it.
What'd you just say?
The mask is sold out everywhere.
I'm glad that you said that because I almost went to a store to see if the mask was sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was almost positive that it would be sold out, which makes sense, right? So we have friends, and I won't name names here, but they have a big YouTube channel, and one of them was talking to me about a much bigger YouTube channel that has hundreds of millions of views per video, and it's the unboxing channel, right? Mm-hmm. And their argument was, nobody talks about this channel. They've never been to a party. where someone has mentioned it. The idea is that these unboxing videos are watched by lots of kids, right? That's mm-hmm. what everyone thinks. But like, they know parents, and the parents have never mentioned this. Even though when they tell them, I work at YouTube, they're like, oh, my kid watches this lady unbox these Disney toys all day long. I mean, some of these videos have a quarter of a billion views on one fucking mm-hmm. video.
That's wow. nuts.
A couple years ago, that channel was a juggernaut. It was its own empire. And they made the point, it's like, if that was the case and kids were watching it, all these toys would be sold out. That's what happens when kids watch these things over and over again. They all want the toys,
right?
And they go buy them. So why isn't that happening? Why is no one talking about it outside of the YouTube ecosphere? And how come these toys aren't constantly selling out? Sure enough, there's a viral ad for a Chewbacca thing or whatever, a viral video that features it. Of course, it's sold out everywhere. It's like immediately people go out and buy it. And that's a natural thing. So I think that person might be right. There might be something suspect going on with those unboxing channels.
They're all followed by the same Twitter
account. There's 13.
So you think they were paid for views?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
does the money ever recycle around?
Like, there's so much weird stuff in
this industry. If you buy enough views, do you get enough ad revenue?
How does
that work?
I don't know. I guess you get high enough. I can see a situation where you could amplify to the point where it seems high enough. To where it ends up in the algorithm of referred videos, and then you're just off to the races. Like I would be curious. Like, how does your water balloon video rank now in the watch this video next thing? Like, if someone goes to the hydraulic press channel, do they go, "Oh, these guys like this. They'll probably like the balloon video as well." You're probably getting a lot of traffic from that hydraulic press channel, I would imagine.
Yeah, we have a lot of copycat channels too, and I assume we get traffic from those as well.
What's a copycat channel?
It's like other people doing slow-mo. In lab
slamo. Slamo?
Shlomo, guys.
It's interesting, though, that the videos like that just never die. Like, if I upload a new video, I don't upload very often, maybe like once every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That will get like a decent amount of views, maybe a couple of million. But the old balloon video will also get the same amount of views.
Is it in recommended the same amount of time. Videos?
Well, yeah, that's the whole point, is like the algorithm's thrown out there to enough people. That it equals my new video.
I feel
video.
Like it gets recommended for me all the fucking
really?
Time. Yeah. All the time I see that goddamn video.
Yeah, it went to viral heaven. That's all I can say about it.
It's going to live there forever.
All right, well, it's about time to wrap up.
I'm upset about Austin. I'm starting to get upset with Austin as a city.
Because of Uber?
Starting to?
The Uber thing upset me. But also, it's like people don't know this, that everyone, it's national news that Uber pulled out of Austin.
Yeah.
They don't know that like a year before that, we essentially banned Airbnb.
What?
Or we locked them down. So they did a thing where you weren't allowed to short-term rent your property unless you had a license from the city. And I was like, oh, come on. And they're like, no, it's a regulation. This is important because of the hotels are having to compete against us. You have to have a license and you have to tax properly for it. And it makes sense. And everybody's like, okay, fine. That makes sense. It's all legal. Totally makes sense. They go, great. As soon as those came in play, then they said, we're no longer issuing any more of these licenses.
The fuck?
So they shut it down. It's a way they basically, there's no new growth for any kind of short-term rentals in Austin, which essentially locks out Airbnb. And HomeAway, which is fucking based in Austin, started in Austin. So then a year later, Uber did the thing. We're like, see ya. And they just left, which was, by the way, total dick move. the regulations for that didn't take place, didn't kick in until February.
Right.
So Uber was not going to lose a cent until February of 2017. They pulled out the day after that, that vote went through. They absolutely made a stand. And my argument that I made on Twitter was they put that on the backs of their drivers, where their drivers knew the vote was coming through, but they could have given them notice. They could have given them at least a month notice find other arrangements.
Well, they did have notice.
Did they, though?
By like a day?
No, they knew it was coming.
They had noticed that it was a possibility.
Right, they didn't know if the vote was going to succeed or fail.
Right, but they knew that there was going to be a pullout if it failed.
Yeah, so it's like, why not pull out 2 weeks and say, oh, guys, we lost the vote. Fuck Austin. We're leaving in 2 weeks.
We'll give you a month to look for a job.
I hope that when they come back, nobody uses them.
I kind of do, too. Yeah, I kind of do, too.
I will.
But the new thing is, it rains all the fucking time in Austin now, in the spring.
Austin's broken. Like, somebody needs to reset Austin.
Gavin, something's going on.
The first times I ever visited, there were actual summers, like summers of heat. Wasn't there like 100 days in a row? Yeah. 100?
It was awful.
We always try to come 50? Up with a number. It was like 75 days over 100 degrees.
Yeah. There were 100 days that year over 100, but I think 75 were in a row.
Yeah, and now it just rains every day.
It just fucking rains all
the
time.
No. It rains like 5 days out of the week. Let's be honest.
What is going on with the rain?
Sometimes 6.5.
Global warming's ruining
the planet. Our lakes were like at the bottom. It was like, it looked like the Sarlacc pit from Return of the Jedi. And now it's like, the dams are going to break because there's so much water there, which is a good thing. You know, it gives hope to people in California that could turn around so quickly. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what the fuck happened to the city? And there's the other thing which nobody knows about is the fucking guy throwing rocks on the freeway. Did you know that happened 3 more times this week?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, it's still going on?
It happens all the time now.
It's constant now, Barb. 13 times this weekend.
How are they not
there's
catching this guy?
There's some dumb motherfucker in Austin who's throwing. What?
He got caught tonight.
He got caught tonight?
Hey.
Thank God.
They caught the guy throwing the rocks. So there's this guy who was throwing rocks off of overpasses on the freeway, or he was throwing rocks out of a car going in opposite directions on the freeway. They were punching through people's windshields and like getting glass all over them if they were lucky, or they were catching a fucking rock in the chest at 40 miles an hour, because you don't drive ever faster than 40 miles an hour in Austin.
Easily enough to kill you.
Dude, lunacy. Just like the guy's like a mental serial killer. And it's like, what's going on?
And in free
what's going on?
In his free time, he sits in front of a camera and smiles.
Dude, the subreddit for Austin, our Austin's going to be going nuts if they caught that guy.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that in the UK. People would just hang bricks from string, swing them down, and they would hit.
Fuck is wrong
with
they
would hit 18-wheelers at exactly face height. Ugh.
There was talk on the Austin subreddit of people like trying to form up like vigilante groups to find this guy.
Snipe him?
Because there was a reward put out.
Really?
By the city for information leading to an arrest in the case. So they're like, yeah, let's just all go and we'll find this guy and we'll just split the reward. It's like a posse in the Old West.
Police investigating a total of 83 rock-throwing incidents. 13 new ones reported over the weekend.
So could each one be treated as like attempted murder?
There should be.
They should be.
Because then he's life, right? If you try to kill 83 people.
God, this is crazy. What does it take to do that? Rock. Go find a fucking rock.
All right, we're wrapping up.
You mentioned like what we're showing after the podcast?
No. Okay. So we're wrapping up, and we'll see you guys next time.
Hey, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for being patient and waiting for us to unveil the new set. We certainly appreciate it. We know it took a while, but we think it was worth the wait.
Bye.
Love you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We have a special guest with us today for our supplemental portion of the podcast. We got The Lonely Island with us.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
We wanted to...
Dude, it's great to have you guys. We're huge fans. You guys always have been. We're psyched to be here.
Yeah, well, totally.
You know, I'll get the fanboy stuff out of the way.
Let's do it.
You know, when we started, you know, Rishi 13 years ago, I think early in the company, you know, we didn't do a lot of acting or a lot of live action stuff, but watching the content you guys started producing, it taught me early on that no matter how dumb I felt while we were filming, I needed to commit to something. Like watching the level of commitment you guys, you know, would put on camera was like... Yeah, you feel stupid when you're filming, but nobody sees that.
Of course.
They see the final product, and it's like, that's really
No matter key. How dumb the joke. That's very nice.
And you were editing it yourself, I assume, right?
I think Bernie I just mean
you were protected in that. If it was going to be bad, you could throw it away, or you could fix it, unless you don't trust him.
Yeah.
It's a safe place to sort of explore that and be like,
oh, I'm bad at this thing, but that actually doesn't make me cringe. Let's put that in.
Even when we do stuff like if we'll perform on a late night show or something like that, we still ask them if we can go into the booth afterwards and be like, hey, can we tweak some things?
Yeah.
Just because we always want to be protected, obviously.
Yeah. I just did the reality show, The Amazing Race, and that was the toughest part of it, was like knowing that there was going to be somebody else like editing everything I did.
It's terrifying.
Yes. When you've been in control.
Terrifying. Yeah, yeah.
How'd it go?
Can't say.
Oh, but, of course.
We finished it. It's like, this is...
you didn't die.
I didn't die.
Spoiler!
I took my fiancé with me, and I miss her dearly.
Oh, no.
She did die.
Rats.
Spoiler. We'll find out.
That is a spoiler.
I think actually by the time this airs, the finale for that will have aired, so everyone else will know, but yeah. we won't
So you're
know.
Still in it.
So fair I can enough. Just say right now.
But we have a little bit of an audience, so in studio, so we probably shouldn't say that.
Fair enough.
So I had a chance to watch the movie the other day, and I loved it. The movie was great. It was hilarious. There were a lot of unexpected cameos. Like I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, well, you know, these are all the people in the movie, and then you sit down and you're like, oh, there are a ton more people.
Yes,
you weren't expecting. But I had to ask. So after I watched the film, I'd never actually seen Justin Bieber's Believe.
No. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So then I was like, I wonder how much pop star takes influence from that. So I started it up, and like the first set that he's at the concert is like the same concert set that Connor for Real has, even in the
trailer,
like it's laid out. It seems like it's laid out exactly the same, like that two level with the DJ.
Although we did kind of all of them. Yeah, we looked at a lot of them, and a lot of them had that.
Like Katy Perry's. We tried to go a little hard on the screens. There's way more screens than most people have, honestly.
So how many times did you have to watch this kind of like fluff music documentary?
We watched all of them. We watched them all over and over. We watched the J-Lo one of them. We watched the Beyonce, like HBO one a lot. We watched Katy Perry, Part of Me, both Justin Bieber.
One Direction.
But like, This Is Us, yeah.
One Direction one was directed by Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite good.
And there's
good.
Great shots in it. He really like made it a little
artsy. 3D, you got to do 3D.
There's an amazing setup at the end, which is just all of them staged around a campfire in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about
what
it's like.
And you know what? You fall in love with them all over again.
You really do. They're charming. They're charmers.
Yeah.
So how did this idea come about?
I feel like I should have a laptop.
What's that?
I feel like I should have a laptop. I could be doing.
You could be texting
some
on
emails. I'm sorry. I've got some very important stuff. I'm doing some stock trading. My laptops. Actual job.
I'm not doing anything important. I'm taking tweets, which I'm trying to vet through these. So
that's
far.
Important.
Like usernames like Skrillakilla69, your mom Ooh. Sucks, and stuff like that. So,
Skrillakilla.
So that means he kills money.
Did you guys ever do that? Like when you started out.
Times.
Did you like? What was your first email name? Did you have anything embarrassing?
Oh, I'm sure it had 69
mine was sophisticado
it.
At hotmail.com. that was my DJ name. I wanted to be called DJ Sophisticado.
Mm-hmm. When did you drop
That's
it?
Right.
Where did you keep it?
Coined that. Was that? And it may have been Jason Chang that called me that.
Did you follow that up with like DJ Unspellable?
No, I wanted to be DJ Rumpel Skills Kid.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool.
That's a good one.
Rumpel Skills Kid.
So I think of, you know, The Lonely Island a lot as far as being like
we think
very
about you guys a lot.
Connected.
Dang,
I
appreciate
you a lot
that.
Too.
I really don't think that's true. I think you're lying. He's pandering.
I think
about you all as being, you know, very in touch with the internet and very connected to the internet. You know, you produce videos that get huge. You know, how does that affect you? Like, is there, how do you deal with that feedback loop? Because I feel like on the internet, you know, you produce something, there's that instant, like, comment box, or there's an instant reaction.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to answer for these guys, but for me personally, it goes right to my head. You know what I mean?
Negative.
All the insults?
Those go right
to your heart.
Yeah, those go right to my butt, and then...
Oh, to your butt?
Yeah, because I have, like, massive, like, diarrhea problems.
Jesus.
No, you're in good company.
And then...
What a subtle way to put it.
Thank you for toning it down for the audience. Makes me feel really confident.
Well, I'm just happy you made us all feel so comfortable.
I'm just trying to break the ice, you guys.
I know, it is frosty in here.
It's a little cool.
Yeah, it's a real hostile environment.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, no, wait. Let's actually answer that question. Sorry.
No, that's fine. We're talking about your diarrhea. I mean, that's an answer.
I don't know how you could talk about one without talking about the other.
How does
which part of it? I mean,
I would say.
Because I think there's two sides to it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you post something and then there's tons
of. It as a one way street more. we're not taking much back.
Well, there's tons of instant, you know, gratification. Like, oh, you're so great. This is the best. It's awesome. And then there's also the other side, which is, you suck. This is the worst thing you've ever done.
Yeah.
You're the best thing you ever did was this, and it's all been downhill since there. So it's like, it's in my mind, for me personally, it's always a balancing act. Like, it's difficult to really try to reconcile the two and figure out, you know, where the truth lies. Obviously, the truth's not at one extreme or the other, but,
correct,
you know, how do you deal with trying to find that balance in the middle?
It's tough. I mean, you could get like 1,000 really, really nice comments, and then you read the one that is like, I hope this person shoots themselves in the head so they never procreate. And you'll remember that one more probably than the nice ones.
Yeah. Procreation might not be on the table for that guy.
No, but
maybe not.
But I wouldn't say that like we take it like, you know, Kevin Smith's like that movie that they made about like going and finding and killing the people that like said the
okay,
like, negative
Bob Strike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's not like I take that to heart and I'm like,
I thought
oh,
it was interesting
really gonna...
to commit an entire project to getting like, back at
yeah,
internet.
It's pretty, funny. Yeah,
it's kind of what Ratatouille is about as well. That's the one that really spoke to me.
Talk more about that.
Have you seen it? Well, Pixar film. Patton Oswalt does the main voice.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's this rat, but he can cook. What?
No, it's delightful. It's really delightful.
So yeah, I can see the parallel.
No, it makes
it is a parallel. It's about that reviewer, and he's a big cynical jerk. It's about criticism. It's literally about the same thing. So yeah,
I got to rewatch.
You didn't
it now.
Say that part. You just said it's about a rat that's
who
like,
can cook.
Yeah, no. I'll rewatch it. I think upon further viewings, it'll really show.
I find it's way easier to get mad at professional critics than just you know people on the internet. Way easier.
Yes,
yeah, because it's their job, before. And if they don't know what they're talking about, you're like,
actually,
your job.
Like when we screened MacGruber here at South By years and years ago. I remember getting online because one dude, I think it was that Cinema Blend. I want to call him out. And I was so mad at this review because I was just like, we're this little movie and you need to support those things. Because, I mean, it's not like everyone has to like everything. But I remember being so mad that I actually created like a fake name and like responded to his thing. And was like, I don't know. I kind of liked it. Like, just like said, lame thing. That's the lamest I've ever been.
You're a comment narc.
You're really confessing a lot today. So we got the butt problems. And
yeah, and I got diarrhea, and I'm like a little petty.
Stop maybe a word.
I made a butt problem.
Even as a joke,
stop
saying it.
He made a fake account while on the toilet, you know?
Yeah.
He did all the posting there.
It doesn't seem like he needs a fake account. It seems like he's living his truth now. Very openly.
Really living out loud.
I apologize.
Yeah, he's living out loud.
Gus, who was the CEO who made the fake account? He got busted.
Oh, it was the Whole Foods CEO.
Yeah, they were going to buy a company. Oh. He got on in a fake name and like was trying to suppress their price by like posting a bunch of negative stuff about it. But in the middle of all that, we're posted that account made of like talking about the CEO saying, hey, did anybody notice he got a new haircut? He looks really good.
No way.
It was really bizarre. Yeah.
It was like on one hand trying to destroy this other company's stock price and on the other hand trying to inflate his own ego. And
that's amazing.
It was awesome.
When I did it, I wasn't like, P.S. you're almost cute.
Well, by the way, the director of the movie seemed like a real hunk.
I bet he doesn't have diarrhea at all.
Unrelated issue.
I heard bowel movements are totally normal.
Yeah, I do the same thing a lot where I'll go online and I don't always necessarily make accounts to say good things about myself. I'll make accounts to say bad things about myself too.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And it goes back to the dichotomy.
What's
it's
wrong
like,
with you?
I want to hear both sides. And it's like, I don't want to.
In your brain? In your own mind?
I just want to read it. Like, I want to say, like, if people are going to say bad things about me, what is it? I'm going to type that. And I'll just type bad things about myself and see, like, what kind of feedback
that gets. You find that freeing? You feel that freeing? And then you're hoping somebody goes, hey, man, you're wrong. He is cool.
You're seeing you're like, who will come to your rescue.
No. I think it's more about just trying to see. I want to find out the bad things people say about me before it shocks me. Like, I want to see it on my own time.
Like, yes. You're doing like Eminem at the end of 8 Mile. Be like, fair. Tell these people something they don't already know
so
about.
So you're
me.
Fishing for insults.
Right, I'm fishing for insults. That way, like, when I get hit with one, it's like, oh, no, I already heard that one. That's
you're
cool.
Like, yeah.
I said it.
Yeah.
No, that's you guys. That's fucked up. I don't know what's wrong. Have you ever
that's some dark. There's something wrong. Clearly.
Have you ever replied to one of your own like accounts with the other one to have an argument with each other?
I've done that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a joke.
No. Okay, so I created. Oh, this is so weird. Do you want to hear about this?
Absolutely.
I created this blog like that was called Deflamer.com. It's on Blogspot, I believe. It's called Deflamer, and it's about a recent divorcee who moves to New York City to become a firefighter.
It's like a character study. We were just doing like posts from a character perspective.
Yeah,
as a joke.
And his life sucks, and is like, and he's trying to get a job at the Hard Rock Cafe, and he's like really excited about the menu, and everybody hates him very clearly, and he's such a he loves Smokey the Bear, obviously, because he wants to be a firefighter. And I made a video posted by the wacky arsonist who hates Smokey the Bear. You can find this on YouTube.
So we
and
can
Smokey
make,
the
like,
Bear just goes around farting and says, "I'm Smokey the Bear and I'm a dumb idiot." And then the wacky arsonist and Deflamer have a battle in comments where they're commenting on each other's stuff and they hate each other. That's how weird I am. Yeah. And then
we never told anybody about any of it or made it
no,
until
nobody
this
knows
moment.
About this. This is the first time
that was
I'm
like
talking
10 years ago. we were like, let's not tell anybody. Let's just let it live out there, and we'll never direct traffic towards it or have any way for people to find it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then it became a thing in the feed of like people coming to the defense of one or the other.
Like, hey, the smoking.
I like the wacky arsonist.
He just made a silly video.
Yeah.
We really,
like, do you guys consider yourselves at your core like a digital group? You know, are you? I mean, what's your origin? How'd you guys all meet, and how'd you get going?
I met Akiva in junior high school, and then we met Andy. Like, we really all started hanging out, the three of us, early high school, like 14, 15 years old in Berkeley, California.
I'm just holding my breath over here that Incredibad is a true story, the song.
An alien came down and demanded we inseminate it.
That's one way to put it. You guys saved a civilization. That's another way to put it.
Thank you. We all messed around in high school, but there was no camera equipment like there is today. We had cameras and like little hi-8 tape stuff that we were fucking around with, but you couldn't edit things on your home phone.
But I think about your earliest hits. You know, like when I think about the first thing that I identified you guys as a group for, I might have seen your stuff before, but Lazy Sunday was one of the earliest YouTube hits. I mean, I think that's one of the things that put YouTube on the map as a platform. Because everyone, you know, wanted to share this thing that was on SNL. They couldn't go see it. There was no, like, NBC portal or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it wasn't even you guys that uploaded it. It was absolutely huge. And this is Google, right?
We hadn't heard of YouTube until Lazy Sunday.
Right.
Well, I don't think many people had. I think YouTube was less than a year old at that point.
Google existed.
Yeah, I think it was like 6 months.
Yeah, and I think like Bernie said, it's definitely one of the things that legitimized it as a platform. It's like, and this company exists because of that. Like, I know I saw the episode when it aired, and then I went to YouTube, and that's how I found it. I think lots of people did that.
Right. Well, if it wasn't us, it would have been somebody else, I'm sure.
No, but that is why they gave us so much stock in the company.
Yeah, that's why we're billionaires.
And everything worked out for us.
Yeah, us and the guy from History of Dance are billionaires.
Evolution of Dance.
I think the two things that I remember, John Stewart went on Crossfire and just blasted Tucker Carlson. Lazy Sunday and that were like the two videos I considered that put YouTube on the map.
I love that video.
Everybody wanted to go. Everybody was talking about it and wanted to see it.
Yeah. I believe it increased their traffic by 80%, and I'm quoting Time Magazine.
Really?
Really?
But if that's wrong, that's Time Magazine's fault.
That's their fault.
And that's why they gave us 80% of the company and why we're rich now.
I guess my only question, Akiva, is what is a magazine?
That's a very excellent question.
It might have been something more relevant in 2005.
But I think it was a zine, actually. Mm-hmm.
But I was one of those people that had, I think I had probably dropped out of watching SNL, and it was the digital shorts that hooked me back in. And I can imagine people who are younger than me, that was their first introduction to SNL was the digital shorts that you guys did.
I guess that's possible. Thanks. Yeah,
that's very cool to hear.
It became a huge viral marketing campaign. Yeah, it was for
like
the show
bite size, you know, little bits of comedy. It's like, you know, this pre-produced thing, and then, you know, as YouTube and as other internet sites take off, it's like an easy way to just spread it and market it and direct back.
SNL's perfect for the internet.
Yeah, if the internet had existed, probably Wayne's World would have been a viral hit on YouTube, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's been timing, right?
Yeah, it's good timing.
I think it's a difference of technology. Like, you think about if Wayne's World was a real thing, like, that's the kind of thing you would have shared on VHS tapes, or like you would have a copy of a copy.
I mean, we did.
Which is what we did. They would record the show
This has a little bit of a Wayne's World vibe, you guys?
A little Perry's Basement kind of a thing?
Yeah. Definitely.
So it's like when Kramer finds the old Merv Griffin set. That was the inspiration. Set it up in his living room.
That was definitely the inspiration for the Red Arches. Oh, yeah. We had some light runners that go through there. They're not on right now, though.
That's awesome.
We should have made you guys enter through the curtain. That would have been nice.
We could still do it.
We'll go out through it later,
and then we'll tack it on.
We're supposed
front.
To be getting a new set. This is
our table's.
No, don't. This looks great.
One of our fans made us a Thor hammer, and I hit the table with it the other day.
Oh, it's the real
Holy
deal.
Shit, that's
to,
real.
Trying to convince Gus to.
Can I re-break it?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely.
Go for it.
Wait, there's like stuff under it.
Be careful.
Break it now.
Yeah, and there's like stuff. Let's do it at the end.
I'll do it at the end. We'll tack it on at the top.
So it'll start the whole segment with a smashing table.
Yeah, that'll be good for continuity.
Start it with it smashing, then it just magically reappears. That thing's heavy.
Pretty heavy. So just the weight of it'll do it.
You're heavy, man.
No! Oh,
that's a strong table.
Solid hit.
God, what a strong.
Here's what I recommend. Go for a leg.
Oh, well, yeah, it's breaking. Oh, there's like...
Yeah!
My God.
So I can now say that I have collaborated with Andy Samberg on a project.
So, the movie is Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. It comes out June 3rd. Oh, so excited.
We do this everywhere we go, guys.
That was a precious heirloom. Particle board.
That's Thank you for friend. Letting me do that. That felt great.
It is, right?
Yes.
It was a very satisfying sound.
Now I'm all comfortable.
You should have a selection of pre-made shitty IKEA furniture at your home, and when you come home every day, just get a hammer and be like, woo, okay, good. Now time to relax.
I feel like, I should have busted out like a pack of cloves.
Do you feel a little sweaty? Because that it seemed heavy.
It's very
not sweaty.
You're welcome to take down the other side of the table if you want to, Yorm.
No.
Yorm, pick it up with your feet.
I'm good, man. Like, then it's gonna ruin my little perch that I
have. Yeah, this is way more comfortable now. The table, I like it a lot better. are you mad?
Well, no. We'll keep it like this.
Tell me if you're mad.
No, we're not mad. All right, we'll keep it like this until
we replace
this
from your house.
It was. I mean, my grandmother gave this to me as she died.
I wish I had like a $100 bill or something that I could have just been like,
buy a new table, chump.
Sorry about the mess.
Yeah, it was very Al Capone.
Or it definitely seems like a very, very Connor for real from pop star bringing it back to the movie.
That's right.
Thank you.
He does have a hammer in the beginning, opening.
Yeah, he throws a hammer.
You know, I think it's a lot. You know, the movie's all about an emotionally stunted person. You know, mm-hmm. who doesn't know how to deal with the changes that are going on in their life.
Yes.
And I was a huge fan. There were many laugh out loud moments. I wish we could talk about.
Wait, so who got to see it?
I got to see it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Bernie was unable to attend, and
that's awesome.
It was great. I think it's coming out June 3rd.
Yeah,
and, June 3rd.
It was you guys.
There's
and
a soundtrack too that has some songs that aren't even in the movie. And
it'll
come out
you
same
say
day.
What your favorite song from the movie was? We can cut it out if it's spoilerish.
We almost harmonized on that.
I would say, what's your fave, man?
Yeah.
Did I like a lot?
Yeah.
That was shocking. Okay. I was like, just kind of watching the credits. I was listening to the song. Right, like,
there's a whole other song here.
Yeah, this is interesting.
That was our hope. I hope, you know, there's, we're hoping people who like the music sit through the credits.
But it is crazy how many things we cut out of this movie just because we really wanted it to be tight. It's 82 minutes without credits, and like we cut out a song with Akon.
Oh god!
And it's a good song, but that's on the soundtrack. We have a song. Oh well, his song has a Linkin Park on it now. Just replaced me. And I don't know, there's a ton.
Yeah, all the songs are great, and like you said, the movie is really tight. I mean, it's just like laugh, and it's just like set up, laugh. I mean, it's just
that's awesome.
It's really good. I think
what you just said was our great hope. So I hope everyone agrees. You nailed it.
You got validation from some guy on the internet.
Good.
I'm going to see the trailer. I'm going to click thumbs up.
Nice.
We'll take it. After you broke his table too.
If you're going to comment on it, you can just do those ones. We don't need you to also balance out the internet.
Okay. I'll just be me. I won't set up my fake accounts.
Yeah, that's
your grandmother is going to give us a big thumbs down.
Should I feel shitty now about the table? You said I should do it.
Definitely. I believe I was promised $100 somewhere in there. I heard some mention of that.
All right, well, everyone should go check it out and get the soundtrack. June 3rd, Pop Star, Never Stopping.
Yes.
Thank you.
thanks for watching, everybody.
This was
fun. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This was super cool. And I'm sorry about the table.
Nah. He's not sorry at all.
He's not.
Bye.
He loved doing that.